begins. Just a quick comment about, are we ready to go?
Yeah.
Just one quick comment about last time. First, I just wanted to mention that the question that I discussed last time, I made a suggestion about the Rambam Shita regarding Lefikach, since Maaser Rishon is Mamon Hedyot, that therefore that's connected to the halacha that the Leviya or Shenivala Ideakum would still have Kedushas Leviya and would be able Ocheles B'Maaser. To point out that's a difficult Rambam, and I made a suggestion about how to interpret that Rambam, etc., and I stand by it. I just wanted to mention, I forgot to mention last time, that Reb Chaim also discusses this question in the stencils, and he has a long piece about it. He's also bothered by the Mishnah Melech's question. He has a different Mahalach entirely in the Rambam, so that's something you should just be aware of. Secondly, it was brought to my attention, who mentioned it to me last time about the Lavush? You mentioned. What's your name again?
Benny?
Okay, I really have to get everybody, the people I know all year round, I know, but the other people I have to really catch up on the names. Pointed out to me that the Lavush as a suffix, we mentioned last time about Gershon is Gag, Kach, and Shenolad, and that the Rambam's Shita in particular about Piri of Arivia, we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan, who says that if you had children, Bigiyusam, and then you were Mizgayer, that fulfills the mitzvah of Piri of Arivia. However, the Rambam adds a very important qualification, that is only if the children that you had Bigiyusam themselves end up being Mizgayer, which I think highlights the point that for the Rambam, the issue isn't, it's not so much that this is an a question of where you're, where your past is significant, but that certain halachos depend on the physical and not on the or physical or consequences and not on the formality or the action. So the Rambam's view is that there have to be the following consequence: there has to be a child with your DNA who is a Jew in the world. That's Piri of Arivia. So both of those components are necessary, and therefore, if you have a biological child who is a Jew, even though he wasn't a Jew at the time that he was originally your biological child. These are two separate points, but you need both in order to fulfill Piri of Arivia. Piri of Arivia is a very practical requirement that, you should be leaving behind progeny. You should be in some way connected with progeny, even if you're not legally connected or responsible for, let's say more than connected with, you should be the cause of or responsible for progeny and who also have Kedushas Yisrael. And if the being responsible for the progeny part and the Kedushas Yisrael part are two separate things, then that's fine too. That is Shita Saramba. But Benny pointed out to me that the Lavush has the following suffix. He says, what will happen if you have a regular child and the child is Chas V'Shalom, becomes a Meshumad. Let's say you have a regular Jewish child and becomes a Meshumad. So then you'll probably be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Piri of Arivia. Still, because Afa Pishachata Yisrael Hu, and even though there are consequences to that, but the fact is that from a Piri of Arivia point of view, that won't be a problem. But what if you have the Rambam's formula? Namely, you had a child, Bigiyusa, right? And then that child was Mizgayer, so you're Mekayim the Mitzvah of Piri of Arivia, and then that same child becomes a Meshumad. Okay. Now again, he can't undo his Geirus, because if it's a real Geirus, even if he's, he can't be Chozer Lesuro Al Pidin. But the point is, would that make a difference or not? So that's this interesting suffix that he pointed out to me that the Lavush has, which I think is very fascinating. Because here, the point is that normally the biological responsibility and the Kedushas Yisrael come together. Here, there is a biological element, and there is Kedushas Yisrael, because Gershon is Gayer, even if he's Chozer Lesuro, is a Yisrael. But since they didn't come together, so the question is, in terms of the tziruf to that father, and that's a Lavush's suffix. I think it highlights, again, part of the issue, part of the problem. But at the same time, without going back into more, there's much more to talk about in terms of Gershon is Gayer, obviously. But I suggested some guidelines or some possible chilukim, some which overlap and some which may be subject to machlokas. Yeah.
Can I just flesh out for a minute the proof of points of Rabbi Yochanan's shita? So there are three different shitas that are emerging. One is that Tosfos, we said that you're not a kind of proof, but
you're potter from it.
And what's the Hagdara of proof within that you're talking
about? So, and I think that has to do with the fact that the, I think it's said in different ways, but I thought it was noteworthy that the Gemara Nivamos speaks about Piri Varivya for the, speak of Piri Varivya, Bigiyusam. And the Gemara here in Becharos changes it to Lashavas. So I think that you know, the point may be either that if you do Lashavas, then there's no Chiyuv of Piri Varivya. That's one possibility, or it's possible to say that you know what they have in mind really is that Piri Varivya is an expansion upon Lashavas, and therefore there's enough of a universalist connection that it's not, that would be a different shot. Not that it's not that there's no Chiyuv, but that there is an actual Chiyuv.
That's a distinct approach.
Right. I think you could say that separate. Maybe you could say it especially for the Gemara Becharos to explain why. Lashavas is used and not Piri Varivya, because Dafka, they want to highlight that even that Piri Varivya is... What?
Yeah.
It's also possible, again, getting back to the first shot, that, you know, either that there's no Chiyuv Piri Varivya or that there's a Chiyuv Piri Varivya without a Chiyuv. I find that more difficult to accept, but I think some people interpret Tosfos Becharos that way. And then we're suggesting other possibilities that... that really, you know, it's about, you know, being responsible, not necessarily being the father of, but being responsible for this child. And as far as that is concerned, you don't need, you know, the universalist point for that. That's a separate point of, that's a separate exception to Kikot and Shinola Dami, based on some of the things that we were discussing the other day. And let me just elaborate on that for another minute as well. When I started, I said that in the extremes, one could say, well, you know, Kikot and Shinolad is taken literally, it's a rebirth, etc. Again, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it's Petarechem, the Yisrael that counts, that might be an extreme sheet. And then you'd have to explain any exceptions would be really problematic, and you'd have to explain them in some way. On the other extreme, one could have said that Gershon is Geyer is a very limited halacha, and it really only applies to family relations. But l'inyan atzma, when I look in the mirror and I look at myself, you know, then I see myself before I was misgayer. I see myself as a non-Jew. The only thing I don't see is my family as a non-Jew, my relationship to other people. So having said that, and that's why I said the first Gemara, the Gemara in Chav Beis in Yevamos, is all about the relationship to other children from the father and from the mother, right? The question of Yibum and Chalitza and Eshesach. There we say certainly Gershon is Geyer Kikot and Shinola Dami. But what do you do then with the Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? So it could be that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were arguing about both Piri Varivya and Bechor L'Nachla are arguing exactly in that point. Namely, Gershon is Geyer Kikot and Shinola is this sweeping rebirth, right, which includes himself. Or it's only a din in the family relations. That's the only thing that has been cut off. Or I think it's possible to say something else. Again, in light of some of the other things that we've said, it's a machlokas about Nachla, it's a machlokas about Piri Varivya, the relationship to Sheves, the relationship to Inachla, to Bechor, and to Benubas, and those kind of issues. How universalist is it? How pragmatic, consequential, being responsible is it? Could be all those things. But I think it's also, maybe it's another way of saying it, another perspective. And that is, when we look at Piri Varivya and Nachla, to what extent do we see those as being issues about oneself, or about one's relationship with others, in this case, the children that you fathered. When the question is whether or not I have fulfilled Piri Varivya, or whether or not, regarding Nachla, is that about myself, or is that about, in cultural terms, I think it's a big question too, right? The way people look at, you know, their extended family, is it, you know, just an extension of themselves? Or, you know, they've been privileged, you know, to bring these other people into the world, to have relationships with other people, you know, and to respect them, the boundaries of that as well. I mean, as someone else, as someone aside and separate from yourself. I think it's an important issue generally. So when we ask the question, if we made the distinction, say, Gershon is Geyer, when it comes to other parties, other relationships, it's cut off completely. But there's no past. When it comes to yourself and even your past actions, that's a different story. Right, when we make that distinction, it's hard to know whether Piri Varivya and Nachla fit so easily into one or the other category. In a similar way, this might be an overlapping question. I made a distinction between halachos that have to do with your past, as your past, and where, you know, the past continues to impact upon the present. I think it's, largely overlapping, but the same kind of an idea. When I look at Piri Verivya, is it something that I did and had? When I look at Nachla, is it, there's somebody out there who can be Yoreshmi? Or is this about, again, continued relationship and concept, in which case it becomes more problematic in terms of Gershon, Skar, Kakatan. If it's about, well, you did that, I did it in the past, as long as it can stay in the past, then my past as a big Yuso is not a threat to my present of Kedushas Yisrael. So I think that these are some of the issues to look at and to consider. Would and there's much more to say, but I don't want to get too bogged down. Yeah.
Would there be any issue for the Ger to maintain some kind of social contact with the...
No, I don't think of the
grandparents.
No, I don't think so. I mean, this is a halacha lemaisa question today, obviously, which is very crucial. Not only in the case of Gerus, and also in the case of the Davonenu. There are other cases here to consider. Also, one to just mention, which is very controversial, a person has a child out of wedlock, right? Or that's one issue. There, it seems clear that there is Piri Verivya. But what about a person who has a child with a non-Jew? Right. So again, that a Jew with a non-Jew. That's the classic case of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is Shnehem Begiusam, where there is a relationship, right? When you have Yisrael. Big Yusam. So on the one hand, you don't have to contend with Gershon Isgayer Kakatan Shenolad because his life hasn't changed. I mean, we hope it's changed in terms of tshuva, but I mean in terms of his identity, he's still the Ruvain and the Shimon that he was before. So from that point of view, continuity is easier to justify in the case of the Iser to be Baal al Akum and to have a Vlad. You might say Kal v'chomer, according to Rabbi Yochanan, thinks that Begiyusam, despite Gershon's Gar Kakotan Shinola, this Piri V'Rivya, there's certainly Piri V'Rivya in this case. Although certainly, according to the Rambam, you'd still require, the other component, the Gerus component. But not everybody holds like the Rambam. And the other, you can look at it differently. And you could say, well, the Begiyusam, as we explained, we have the same question regarding, in the opposite way, whether you need a Gerus, there's the question whether you need a Gerus in Harasa Shalom B'Kedusha Leidasa B'Kedusha, and there's a question whether you need a Gerus in Akum Shabal Bas Yisrael. And it's a similar kind of a problem. So here too, if you have in the opposite, in the opposite direction, you have a Goy, Yisrael Shabal Al Goy, so the child isn't his child, so you might think it's the same as Big Yuso, and on the contrary, he hasn't changed. But on the other hand, because of the Yisr, the dissonance, the initial birth of that child is more illegitimate and more distant, because he's a Yisrael and yet the child isn't the Yisrael. Is that even considered the same halachic DNA? So that's an interesting question that we'd have to consider as well. And that's a discussion in the poskim. The Chizkinuch discusses it and many others as well. Okay, let's move on now to Pidgin HaBen. So let's do a bit of an introduction first to Pidgin HaBen. And we'll get as far as we can, and we'll pick up with this on Monday, I guess. If you look at the Torah, the Pidgin HaBen is a very, very challenging mitzvah. We've already indicated that. One of the reasons it's so challenging is that different parshios leave us with very, very, very different impressions. So just let me speak out a little bit, survey some of the issues, and then we'll look at the psukim inside and some of the perspectives. If you look at the parshios, there are three, let's say, main parshios, and there are a few other references in the Torah as well. But the main parshios, Parshas Bo, then you have in the beginning of Bamidbar, and then you have in Parshas Korach. You also have a pasuk in Mishpatim, which the Rambam actually quotes in Sefer Mitzvos, which is just thrown in there. We have, in other words, then Parshon Re'eh makes reference to Pidgin. Question whether that's a reference to Pidgin HaBen or not. There are Pasuk and Baloscha. There are Psukim here and there also, but the main Parshios are the three, Bamidbar, Bo, and Korach. If you look at these Parshios, you immediately get three, I think, different impressions regarding the basic nature of the mitzvah of Pidgin HaBen. The Parsha, and we'll read it inside in just a minute, but the Parsha in Bo, is in the context of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Makas Bechoros. Ki li kol bechor. Right? The Rebbe Shalom repeats, you know, and accentuates by repeating it so often in the Torah, but especially in Bo, but also in Bamidbar. Ki li kol bechor, ki li kol bechor, li heim. Rebbe Shalom is very, very proprietary about Bechor in the context of the Nes of Bechor b'Mitzrayim. One would get the impression from that parsha that if there is a requirement to pidgin a ben, that is connected to one of two things, either to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's part of the just like you know we go through all the Nisim, the Tzach, Hadash, Bachav, right in the context of the Haggadah. It's all part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So, and there are other things that are Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim Kol Hashana, right? The Ramban in Parshas Bo Dafka, the last Ramban, of course, discusses how you know, Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim seems to be even where it shouldn't be. Okay, so one could have thought that Pidgin Aben is a Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim, a Zechir L'Nes. After all, it's in the Parsha of Zohar Sayom Hazeh. It's in the whole Parsha of Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'igadat l'bincha ki sholcha bincha b'yoma, who reads some of the psukim in just a second. One could have thought, if you were the Rambam, maybe Pidgin Aben should be cataloged in Hilchos Chametz u'Matzah. Okay. I don't know. Or if it isn't, at least maybe it should be in Sefer Ava. Right? Now that the Frankel Rambam is in Sefer Ava, so it would be okay to put it there as well. Right next to Mila, you have Bris Mila, then you have Pidgin Aben. It would be, you know, one of those mitzvos. But a mitzvah, Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim, Zecher L'Nes. That's number one. Then the question is, what exactly, and therefore what is it? That might be the reason for the mitzvah. What exactly is the mitzvah? To be mazkir that nes by a pidgin aben, that could be one way to explain it. Or another way, that there's really a hatsala of every bechor. Every bechor, you know, was jeopardized at that point in time. And therefore, ki lihem, they belong especially to the Rebbeinu Shalom, the special Shevach Vahodah is required, and a special Pidyon is required as well. I'll read some of the Farshim inside in a second. That's one Parsha. That's the Parsha of Bo. Then, we encounter Bamidbar. In Bamidbar, Perek Gimel, right? We have a whole different context entirely. There you have the replacement of the Bechor with the Levim, the Chiluf Kedusha from Bechor to Levi. And there the Gemara speaks about, again, about Pidgin Aben. And if you only had that Parsha, you would think that that's what Pidgin Aben is really all about. Namely, it's about the replacement. The Bechor used to be the Oved, right? He was the Kohen or the Levi, or maybe both, wrapped up in one. And now that's going to be switched to the Kohanim and Leviim. And just that, does that required at that point in history, an act of Pidyon, right? Pidyon with the live Leviim, and whatever was additional by calculating Heslaim. So that's what Pidyon Aben is, L'dorei Doros, every time a Bechor is born, it's not Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Although, it should be noted, again, we'll read the Pesukim inside in a second, that even those, so that Parsha in Bamidbar keeps repeating about Ki Lihem based on the Nes of the Bechor in Mitzrayim. So obviously the Parshios are not disconnected completely. The Mefarshim, of course, are very bothered, just to highlight the Parshas Bamidbar a little bit. Again, Bo is in Bamidbar. Or Bamidbar, what's going on in Bo? Because the switch hasn't yet taken place. So if the switch hasn't yet taken place and that's somehow crucial to Pidgin Aben, so how could that be that there's a mitzvah of Pidgin Aben mentioned in Parshas Bo when nothing has happened yet? So that's something that really bothered the Rashbam, I'll read it inside in a second, and the Ramban. Right, both of whom say, yeah, Parshas Bo is foreshadowing Parshas Bamidbar. The actual Pidgin didn't take place until Bamidbar. All that took place in Parshas Bo was the recognition of Kedusha. And we'll see how the Pesukim read in just a minute. But other Mefarshim don't read it that way. The Sfarnu has kind of an in-between Shita, which I'll explain in a minute. And but the simple reading of the Pesukim is that already in Parshas Bo, prior to the exchange in Bamidbar, there already was a concept of Pidgin Aben. which would seem to indicate that Pidgin Aben is not Lidori Doros about Chiluf, or that there are two dinim, and they added a component, but at least there's one aspect of Pidgin Bechor, which has nothing to do with the Chiluf Kedusha of Avoda, because Bo is before Bamidbar. So that's the second thing to consider very, very serious. Read the Pesukim inside in just a second. The third Parsha is Parshas Korach, and that leaves us with a totally third impression. Although again, once you have all three, so then the question is, you know, are there three themes or two themes, or does some of these themes just meant to reinforce the Ikar other or single theme? But Parshas Korach leaves a totally different impression because the context of Parshas Korach is Matnas Kahuna. Since it's Matnas Kahuna, it's not just about Bechor, right? It's about the Trumos and Maestros and Zroel Lechayim Vekeva and Reishis Hagez. So basically, and if you look, we'll see inside in a second, look at the Rav Sajagon and the Ibn Ezra and the Rajbam there. They say the Malachov. Again, in a second, but they say it's all about Reishis. It's about Matnas Kuna. What?
Rambam.
Yeah. Now, the Rambam put it this way: the Rambam could have, in theory, put Pidgin Aben in several different places. He could have put it in Zmanim, in the context of Chometz Matzah, as I said, if he wanted to underscore that aspect of it, the Makas Bukharos. He could have put it in Sefer Ava. You know, next is part of the life cycle. Next to, right after Mila comes Pidgin Aben for a Bechor, but it's Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. He could have put it in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, right? Based on the Parsha in Bamidbar, that it's Chiluf Kedushas Bechor Kedushas Kohanim Leviim. That I think would belong in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, which is all about Kedushas Kuna and Levia. And he could have put it in where he did put it, which is in Hilchos Bikurim. The Rambam chose to put it in Hilchos Bikurim, which is about Matnas Kuhuna. And sandwiched in between Zera L'Chaim Bekeva, on the one hand, and Zera L'Chaim Bekeva, then comes, Reishis Hagez, then comes Bechor Adam, and then comes Petar Chamor. The Rambam also, in theory, could have put it in Hilchos Bechoros, which is where he has Bechor Behema Tahora, and he makes reference there also to Bechor Adam, which we'll get to in a minute, very important reference. He didn't. Rambam put it in Hilchos Bikurim. The point is that there are then different perspectives. Let me just look at the Pesukim very quickly, just to highlight another point, and that is as follows. In addition to the different themes, we also should note that the Torah speaks, in terms of the details of Pidgin Aben, differently in the different parshiyos. For example, in Shemos, where it's introduced, there is no reference at all to the Kohen. The fact that the Kohen receives the Pidgin Aben is omitted. The fact that the amount is hay slime is omitted. The fact that this takes place in Lamed Yom, omitted. All the details that are crucial in Bamidbar, because the role of the Kohen, that's the Chiluf. The Hay Slaim, right? Because that's how you figure out when you don't have the one-on-one correspondence with the Levian. The Lamed Yom, because that's the Minyan, what's it doing in Bamidbar Paragimel? Right? It's the census of Bnei Levi, which is Mikodesh Olamala. So all three elements, the timing, the amount, the recipient, are all omitted in Parshas Bo. It's almost like if you just read Parshas Bo alone, and the major theme was Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim, so these points wouldn't necessarily be crucial at all. Maybe it would be even less than 30 days. Right? Maybe the Kohen wouldn't be the recipient. You could give the money to Tzedakah, I don't know, or bring a carbon with it, I don't know what you would do with it. Right? And for that matter, the amount would not be crucial, necessarily. It's in the Chiluf LeKahuna, where obviously the Kohen is going to play a role, the amount is going to be crucial, because you have to have an amount in order to The poda when there's no other corresponding person, that's in the parshas Bamidbar. And the shlosh yom is also important. Number one, it's lafuke nefel, we'll get back to that. Or, the way some of Farshim explain, because that's a din in erechin, it's the erech of a ben chodesh, is heislaim. Right? I mean, Rashi quotes the Medrash, who says that the heislaim is based on Yosef. Right? It's also an interesting point. But if you look at the Parsha and Shemos, all this is missing. Vayidaber Hashem, Moshe lemar, kadesh li kol b'chor petel korecha b'bnei Yisrael, ba'dam uvab hema li hu. So firstly, the kadesh kol b'chor, is the other point to make, which appears is the emphasis in Parsha's bow. And the simple reading of the pasuk is that kadesh li kol b'chor goes on all the different types of b'chors. Right? Kol rechem b'bnei Yisrael, ba'adam uvab hema li hu. It's not to the Kohen, nothing, no reference to the Kohen in Parsha's bow. So it's almost as if we're saying, from the perspective of Parsha's bow, and Kedushas Bechor, and Zeichel Letzias Mitzrayim, all these other pratim are unimportant. But does that mean that they were only added on later on, when an added dimension to the pidyon, in addition to the Li Haim, and you only, there wouldn't be a Bechor, the Zeichel Letzias Mitzrayim, when in addition it also became connected as a second motif, with Chiluf Kedusha for Kahuna. So that's when the dinim of Heislaim and Lakoin and that's what it is? Or no, it was always meant that these are the dinim, but we're just trying to show the larger development.
It's not really that Petra Ratham Kwa Parshan in Bo itself is meant.
Say that again?
I think it's also noteworthy that the very din of Petra Ratham itself.
Yeah.
Qua the Parshan Bo is a tremendous chiddush, especially in light of Makas Bechoros. So most of the Parshan say, and this is reflected in our Tanya's Bechoros, that Makas Bechoros was Bechor La'av and Bechor La'ein.
Right.
And the fact is that Petzer Rechem is already
because only Bechor La'ein.
Yeah, it's already a limitation. Could be. It's a very, very pressing question.
But that's in the Parsha. Right.
So I'm saying Dafka Bo internally is problematic.
I don't know if it's problematic, but it's that's again the first to discuss that, whether maybe it's either or both. Some of the midrashim say, and even if there wasn't a bechor, the oldest child in the family, or the oldest son, right? And another midrashim say, well, that can't be if it's really padded up to bechor. I hear. But in any case, kaddishly, it could be another point may just be that Parsha's bow establishes kedushas bechor, and kedushas bechor is based on ki li, lihu. It requires pidyon as a result of that kedusha as well. But as I say, the halacha of chiluf and pidyon, or even the halacha of matnos kahuna, those are either additional points, just not rooted in this parsha, or added on when pidyon aben was expanded to include other components. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I just don't know which. It's hard to say. I'm just being bedayik. The different components and different parshios, I think, make sense within those parshios, whether or not we're dealing with two dinim or one halacha, but how this composite halacha was put together. Okay. The emphasis on Lihu, as I mentioned, is very, very strong in the parsha. Vayomer Moshe la'am, Zachar sayom azer sheyitzasem mimitzrayim mibeis avadim, ki bechozek yad otzi Hashem eschem mizeh v'lo yachel chametz. Immediately, it's connected to Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Rabbi Rashbam Alatar Ba'adam Avoda Mitchila Haisa B'Becharos. This, of course, is a discussion in the Gemara earlier in Becharos of Dalid, and also in the end of Zvachim, whether this is really true that the Avoda originally was B'Becharos, or whether that was true also B'Midbar. These also are issues that may be very important. We should also, before we even mention Bo, we talked about B'Chor L'Nachala. There's, of course, an earlier parsha about the B'Chor. And that is not explicit. That, of course, the Yaakov and Esav struggle, right? Because that's about the Bechora. Whether that's more about Lenachala, or it's again certainly the Medrash understands that it has to do with Avoda as well, or both, right? That also is something that has to be considered. But here, Rashbam emphasized immediately Avoda Mitchila Haisa the Bechoras. Why did Rashbam emphasize that? Because he has this view that Bo and Bamidbar are one and the same. And that you have to read the parshios together. And it's all about Chiluv Kedusha. And since it's about Chiluv Kedusha, he's telling you already, by the way, it's not that the Bechor didn't begin here. The Bechor was always was always the Oved. Other Mefarshim here understand that the Bechor, being an Oved, started right here. Kaddish li kol Bechor, li hu. That's when it began. Yeah. So again, the way the Rashbam, that's exactly what's not clear, but the way the Rashbam is inserting it here, in the context of Petar Kol Rechem, it would seem to be even Bechor Lein. That would seem to be the point. The Ibn Ezra, Al-Atar, also, explains, Ibn Ezra Kotzar, the achash yotza gzera al kol b'chor Mitzrayim ba'adam u'behema v'lomesu b'chor Yisrael heim chayavim liftos nafshem lases kafram l'kvod Hashem shepadam. The Ibn Ezra sees this as a separate mechayev. Hakaras hatov. Then you skip a few psukim, you have all the dinim of chametz and matzah. And then we read again in Pasuk Yud Aleph, v'hoya kiviyacha Hashem alekecha l'eretz ha'knani asher nishba lecha l'avosecha. When the son Allah, there's also a question whether Eretz Yisrael is a component here, but we'll ask over that for the moment. V'havarta kol petah rechem la'Hashem, v'kol petah sheger behema sheyeh lecha zecharim la'Hashem. Notice the havara here is emphasized to the Rabbanu Shalom. No kahuna. Right? Also in Parshas Mishpatim, titein li. Right? If the kohanim get, it's mishulchan gavoah kazachu. But it's not directly to the kohanim. A totally different emphasis. Consistent with Parshas Bo, ki lihu. It's all about what the Rabbanu Shalom did to save the Bechoros. V'chol petach hamar tifteh b'seh, v'lo tafteh v'arafto, v'chol bechor adam b'vanecha tifteh. And then, v'hoi ki sholcha bincha machar leimar, mazos, that's the zeichel, yes, Mitzrayim. Ki hikshel le'par l'sholcheinu v'yarag, kol bechor b'eretz Mitzrayim, v'chor adam ad bechor behema, al kena nizaveach Hashem, kol petach rechem azcharim, v'chol bechor b'nai afteh. It's Tamei Mitzvah, straight here. That's where the Ramban begins to speak about Zecher Tzitzis Mitzrayim being all over, being pervasive. The Psukim point to this being a Zechiras Tzitzis Mitzrayim and a Hatzala Halacha on its own. However, the Rashbam here, as I mentioned before, and the Ramban, both try to integrate the Parshias. The Rashbam says, see if I can find it. La'achashin tivdeh, la'achashin iskadshu halavim tachas kol b'char b'shana shniyah shehukam ha-mishkan, v'lakachas chameshes shkolim l'gulgoles, uksivu p'duyam ben chodesh tivdeh b'yarkacha. Again, you have to know what he's bothered by. Basically, what he's saying is, the chiluf for the b'chars didn't take place yet. So what's this whole parasha even talking about? Says the Rashbam, you have to read the two parshas together. Nothing happened right now. The Kedusha happened now. The Pidyon happened in Bamidbar. And that's what Ramban says. Ramban says, Val derech ha-pshat, kadosh li kol b'chor, kol ha-nimtzoyim b'Yisrael hayom, ki bavur shepida'am mimaves ba'kosu b'eretz Mitzrayim siva sheyu kedoshim lo, lavo desavodas Hashem l'kol asher yitzaveh b'hem. Okay. Again, the Ramban, the Ibn Ezra ends up doing this as well, that because of the Chiyuv, Hodah, V'Hatzalah, so that's why they became the Ovdim, it wasn't previous. Ibn Ezra says this as well, he even expands on it. Heimayo akonim anigashim al Hashem, gam shivim zikenim mizikne Yisrael mehabachorim, nare b'nei Yisrael mebachurei habachorim, very big chiddush. Bechor, they were the leaders and everything. It's all because ki lihem. Rosh Hashanah put his brand on the Bechor. It's fascinating. So Ramban says this also. That's also connected to Avodah. But this is the Ramban's, for Ibn Ezra, it's still a separate parsha. This is the Ramban's way of integrating it all between the two parshios and saying nothing happens in Bo. The Lo Tziva Lahem Ata Pidyon Ad Shechlifam Bilavim The Tziva B'Pidyon Ha'Odvim Avala Mitzvah Bin Aladim Lo Naga B'Midbar and so on. So the Ramban and the Rashbam both basically say that the Pidyon has to do only with the chiluf. Although, you'd have to explain the parsha of Bamidbar, which says ki liheim also, the reason that, to begin with, they are the ovdim, which is why they need the chiluf, is because of parsha's bo. That's the way the Ramban and Rajban, especially the Ramban, read the two parshas. But the pashtas, one could say, with two different dinim and two different pigeons. There's a kedusha on a pigeon here even prior to any kind of chiluf. What's the pigeon based on? A hakara of the special status of the bechor. Kadeshli and being poda. Or another possibility, that's the Sfarno. The Sfarno here and in Bamidbar has a big chiddush. Sfarno has also bothered by the same question, although he doesn't say it that way, but he says, what's going on here? Sfarno says, without the pigeon, the bechor is a kohen, but he would only be a kohen. He wouldn't be able to do any maisachal. We need the pigeon so that he can be a well-rounded fellow. He can do the avoda, and at the same time, he can he can do maisachal as well. Let's see if I can find it. It says a few places in the parsha. Hine amar b'tchila kadeshli. No, sorry, it's not the right one. I think it says it earlier. It's just a very fascinating parish. I think it's well known. This, I think it's one of the more well known Sfarim. Kaddish in the Bechar. She is chayv kulam bepidyon kishar kol hekdesh. He also compares it to hekdesh. Right? Get to that in a minute. Lemani mutarim ba'avodas chol. She lulei apidyon hayosurim lasas kol melachas chol. Kinyan lo savod bebechar sharecha. Upidyon nafsham hua erecha mefurash. Leben chodesh beparshas erchen, biyosa oz zman pidyono, kamro upiduyo leben chodesh tifte. So two things. Number one, he compares it to hekdesh twice, right? And number two, his point is there is a pidyon, even though it's before parshas b'midbar. There's no chiluf. It's a mini pidyon already. And then, of course, when they switch completely, so it was just a natural expansion. The Sfarno also thinks it's one halacha. But instead of saying that, that it's the kiddush here and the pidyon there, he's saying there was a pidyon here, a pidyon of lesser proportions, but, one which is expanded upon later, but it's all one halacha. It's a din in the avoda and the bechor. But in light of the question, and psukim, one could have said, absolutely not. And that's why there's no mention of kahuna, there's no mention of slime, there's no mention of chodek. Did you have a question?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just according to this, Yaakov and Esav would only be nachor. According to any of these episodes.
I guess it would be better to say, right, because it sounds like...
Right.
Unless you say that, according to the Chazal, who say that the Bechor was always meant to be the Oved, so then the Kili Haim would just be about, the requirement of Pidyon, to acknowledge that. Now, if you say that the Avoda actually begins now, Kili Haim is the reason for the Avoda, which is what some of these Mepharshim are saying, then... Obviously, that doesn't apply to Yaakov and Esa. But others are saying, no, the Bechor began, the Avoda began earlier. It's the Pidyon Miktsas now, or the recognition now, that, that in addition to being Ovdim, it's also Kilihein. That's like a different or an additional status.
The Rashi says something like Yaakov didn't want Esav to be the person.
So that was my explanation. Right, Rashi says that Esav, Rashi quotes the Medrash, that says, what does it mean? That Rav, he saw that the Bechor is Oved, and that if you're Oved and you make a mistake, it can be Chayav Nisa. So that's what the Pasuk means. This Bechor is going to kill me because it's the Avoda B'Mikdash. So what I said was that Yaakov, the Ishtam, like, how could he pull this, take advantage of poor Esav, who was a Yef. And he said, Halitainim in a doma doma zeh. How can he do that? The answer is because he was horrified that that Esav would see the possibility of Chiv Misa, he would see the Achray as part of Avoda as a burden and not as an opportunity. That was my explanation to it. But yeah, I mean, that whole Chazal is based on the idea that a Yaakov and Esav issue was also about, unless he was looking, to his generations and not to himself, maybe. Yeah.
So according to the Ramban, are we saying that the failure of the
you mean in the ego? Why is it inevitable?
Well,
I see what you're asking. Okay. Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know. It's an interesting ha'ara. In other words, if the chiluf is based on, assuming that the chiluf is based on the cheta ego, which is a popular view. Again, it's never said that in Torah Shabbat Tzav, it doesn't say that. But it is a very, very accepted view in Chazal. So it would be a very fascinating idea, because again, already here in Parshas Bo, we're reading about Pidgeon, the Pidgeon that's coming. So that is a very good point.
Where's the Chiluf in
Parshas Bo? Not in Parshas Bo, in Parshas Bo, in Bamidbar.
No, but I'm saying that.
What do you mean the Chiluf in Parshas Bo?
The Pidgeon.
Where does it say Pidgeon?
Yeah.
The Pesukim later. To the end, we say. That's Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yeah, if it didn't say that at all, it would even be better, because then you'd only have the Kedusha in Parshas Bo, and you wouldn't have to contend with the Pidgeon at all. But I think it's possible that the Pidgeon of Bo, if you don't want to say what the Rashbam and the Ramban are saying, or even what the Sfarno is saying, I think you could say that there's a requirement of Pidgeon to establish or to accent the Kedusha, per se. Not because of taking away from the Avod. Maybe it wasn't even connected to Avod at all. In Torah Shebichsav, there's no connection to Avodah. All we know in Torah Shebichsav here is that there's a connection to the Makas Bechoros, that it's Lihaim, that it is that there's Pidgeon and that there's Kedusha. We don't know anything more than that. I think it's fascinating when you step back and you see what there is, and yet how does it fit into the other parshios and and the other dinim, which is why I'm taking a few minutes, to try to do this. Okay. Just one second. So that's in terms of the Rambam, the Rashbam. Now the connection to Hekdesh is fascinating as well. I should just mention the Sfarnus has a connection to Hekdesh, which works better with Chiluf, Kedusha, etc. There's a famous view of the Bahag, which the Ramban quotes in Hilchos Bechoros. I just want to mention it now before I forget. The Ramban quotes in Hilchos Bechoros that the Bahag says that when you're poda the Bechor, you have to add an extra chomesh. Just like when you're poda Hekdesh, you have to add chomesh. And the Ramban says, that's lo matzino davar kazeh, and he quotes Rav Haigon, that it's a little bit late, so I'm not going to read it inside, but you'll see in, I think it's Os, like Samach Tess, or Ayin, or is it Ayin Tess, or Ayin Pei, in the Brit Al-Ghazi, okay. I didn't see it in this one, because I'm now using the new one.
If you want it, we have this.
You have a big one?
Okay. This is whether you're doing your son, or you're being called yourself.
Oh, so this is a very strange halacha. So the, yeah, here it is. Those of you who have it, it's on page Kufpei Dalad in this big one, but I'll read it. Ashechan bigadolos v'psukos, which means halachas gadolos and halachas psukos, v'ham milsa ta'usa, v'chsiv v'hom hachi. The haysline, kama havyan, chav gera, hasheka, it's also how you calculate, I don't think I have a chance to do that. The chos shekel have a klasa zuze, the shashtanag, or whatever it is. The klasa kama hava, shitzar, osif alei chomish didu, the koman de parik kodesh, mosif alav chomish. So neamar, vima makdish, yigalis peso, kama hava chomish dolahon, and then he goes on to explain. So he's learning that from Hekdesh. And the Ramban says this is completely wrong. Hadin hu lishon de baal lachos bevade shitva de sifre ika the leket hasefes chomish pidgin aben kedisa the podes ekdesho the halok siva it's not the psukim umisna nami lo tzan it's not the mishayas on the contrary the tzan mishnah says in azav heichum shenein one of them is hekdesh that's sheni hekdesh they don't mention pidgin aben. So the Rit al-Ghazi says about that, well, the Bahag is not going to lose any sleep over that. The Bahag is saying it's Midin Hekdesh. So if you think it applies to Hekdesh, it's in the Mishnah. Ela sloy v'lechud avr v'kune deben. Then he quotes of Haigon, who also, v'hochen amr avinu Haigon, the Tshuva, v'may d'ashkachtum l'avr v'yudoigon, d'haik tufayna, v'shim d'kol apod Hekdesh mosif chomish lav taima, who is Rav Haigon talking? V'leis l'pidjon Hekdesh v'hai esek. What does Pidgin Aben have to do with Hekdesh? But if it's Chiluf Kedusha, So the Marital Gazi says, oh, obviously the Hag thinks it doesn't. He goes on his way, has two or three pages of discussion, try to show this, you know, Kedarko. Yeah, there's a Hekesh between Hekdesh and Pidgin Aben, and all that, since it's a Hekdesh. A Hekesh, first he starts off by saying, if there's going to be a Hekesh between Pidgin Aben and Hekdesh, he said, then certainly there should have been one with Petr Chamor, because Petr Chamor is also Ba'ana. So he says, I really don't understand why, according to the Bahag, Petr Chamor is less connected to Hekdesh than Pidgin Aben. That's his first problem. But then he says, that really there is a Hekesh. And then he says, oh, there's a Hekesh, so how the whole sugya about whether or not there's Yesh Achrayas of Pidgin Aben, so why doesn't that have impact on the din of Hekesh? That's a long discussion of the Marit Al-Gaz. Okay. My point is, that depending on which of the parshas you emphasize, how you see Pidgin Aben, we can sympathize or with either the Ramban or the Bahag. I should also mention Marit Al-Gazi quotes that the Chachmei Pramans, the Aruch HaSakayim, the Kolbo, a lot of the Rishonim, make a different distinction. Okay, in addition to the connection to Hekdesh, there's another problem. I think that's the problem that you raise, which is, what do you mean, the extra Chomesh? You know, the mitzvah is on the father. In Hekdesh, if I give something to Hekdesh, right, so then if somebody else is Poda, he's Poda without it, the Chomesh. If I'm Poda, the same thing, I'm Mosif, or Maisa Sheni. But here the mitzvah is the father, so where's the chomesh? So there are some Rishonim who had the Bahag's idea, but they qualified it. They said, it depends on when you do the Pidgin Aben. If you do the Pidgin Aben Bizmano, Yom Shloshim, then you're good. But if you do it after Shloshim, so then you add the chomesh. At least that explains why the Torah itself doesn't mention the chomesh. Okay. Anyway, that's itself very fascinating. Then I think there are some, I don't remember if I've seen this or not, if either I've seen it or I'm making it up, but either way, it's something to think about. If there is a din of Chomesh according to the Bahag, would it make a difference whether it was the father or the son? Right? Let's say the son is being Podes Atzmo. Okay, anyways, that's an issue of the relationship of father and son of the Chi, which I hope we'll get to, if not today, then on Monday. No, but in any case, this is the parsha here in Bo.
Was it related to the question about Kedusha Me'ela or the fact that you have to be Maptish it? Because if it's related to Hekdesh,
right.
The concept of Pidyon is when you were Maptish something and then you want to Poda it, so you would have a Chomesh.
Right.
If you were never Maptish this, it's a little more surprising.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I meant before.
Right. So, right. It's just,
so who is Maptish? Right. Yeah, it's a very strange, Bahag. But it's one which is very important as well. Okay. That's this parsha. When we look at the parsha in Bamidbar, I said we get a very, very different impression. Bamidbar Gimel, we already explained it. Yud Aleph, starting from Pasuk Yud Aleph, I think, right? Vayidaber Hashem l'Moshe l'Emor, ani anei lakachti es halevim mitoch b'nei Yisrael tachas Kol b'chor peter rechem ibnei Yisrael v'hayu li halabim. Ki li kol b'chor b'yom ha'kosi kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim hikdashti li kol b'chor b'Yisrael mi'adam ad behema li yiyu ani Hashem. So again, even though it's a different context, we can understand why the Rashbam and the Ramban link them. Right? Because the Parsha here mentions that it's working off of Parsha's bow, ki lihem. It's also fascinating that primarily the emphasis in Parsha's bow here in Parsha's Bamidbar is the Kilihem and the Kedusha, not the Pidyon. Right? Kili kol b'char, hikdashti li kol b'char, li yiyu ani Hashem. Doesn't mention the Chi of Pidyon, on the contrary, then comes the Chi of Pidyon here, which is why I think the Rashbam and Ramban, for conceptual and parshanut reasons, said what they said, which is really, even though it mentions Pidyon and Bo, the real din in Parsha's Bo is the Kedusha, and here's the Pidyon. But it's not so easy either. The other way to look at it is that Bamidbar is a totally new or different development. But of course, what makes the Bechor, what put the Bechor in a position to begin with that he needs the Chiluf? Or what made him, Kili, such that there would be a Chalos of Chiluf, was Parsha's Bo. But it's still a totally different theme. The Pidyon of Parsha's Bo is based on the Hakoras HaKdusha, of Makas Bechoros, etc. And here it's a totally new and additional dimension. Yeah. Now, what's fascinating is that here you have all the pratim. So again, you have to skip a bunch of psukim. This is pasuk. Yeah, it's also mentioned there's a very fascinating chizkuni here. The chizkuni says, Tachas kol b'char, lo hayo b'choros ru'uyim l'nachala. So again, this is another point, another important issue that we've been discussing, that is whether or not there's an overlap between Bechor and Nachala, right, on some level, and Bechor La Avoda. This is based on the assumption that there, I think this is actually really the, okay, I think it's also the, I think the Ibn Ezra says this as well. Not sure. Bechor? No. Yeah, okay, no, we'll look it up later. But anyway, I think the, that's one. But then the major thrust is later on. You have the whole minyan, and then you're told by Davar Hashem Moshe Elimor. This is pasuk mem. Vayomer Hashem Moshe b'kod kol b'chor zochar lebnei Yisrael ben chodesh v'mala. Here for the first time you have the age. V'sos mitzvar shemosam v'lakachtos alavim li again ani Hashem tachas kol b'chor b'bnei Yisrael. Des behemas alavim tachas kol b'chor behemas b'nei Yisrael. Vayifkad Moshe kashativa Hashem also is kol b'chor b'nei Yisrael, and you have the mispar, and then vaydabar Hashem b'Moshe more kachas alavim tachas kol b'chor b'nei Yisrael. Des behemas alavim tachas behemtam. V'hayu li alavim ani Hashem. Veis piduyesh shlosha v'shivim masayim ha'od from alavim b'chor b'nei Yisrael. V'lakachta chameshes chameshes shkalim lagugoles v'shekel hakodesh tikach esrim gera. So the first time we have the hay slime. And so it was done. So basically, number one, it wasn't the father, it was Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe he was everybody's father. Okay. It was given to Aaron the Kohanim, not to individual Kohanim. Right? And it wasn't, it was Hey Hey Slaim Ich Golgoles, but it wasn't done individually, it was done all of them as a unit together. One could have said, again, that this is a special moment in history, you know, which feeds off of Parshas Bo and a little bit off of what we have in Korach, but which isn't at all the classic or the Mechayev of Bechor. That's why it's Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Aaron, it's Shevet Kuhuna Bechlau, Mamana Shevet. There are other differences as well. The fact that the Ramban and the Rashbam make this so crucial and critical. Again, the fact that the Bahag thinks that it's comparable to Hekdesh, or Sfarnu as well. Sfarnu says that the Erech of Ben Chodesh is also based on Hekdesh. Shows what direction that they're taking. Shows the direction that they're taking. But, having said that, one could have said that this whole top Parsha is a special din, special Horah Shah, and it's finished. Again, the Sfarnu, earlier I should say, I think the Ramban, number of the Mepharshim are bothered by the question, how come in our times you don't have to line up the, you know, the Bechor with the Levi? The question, now they say, oh, because all those Levium, it was already done already. That whole discussion and question that some of the Mepharshim here discuss point to the fact that they consider Parshas Bamidbar and this idea of Chiluf to be what I call the Hilchos Kli HaMikdash component to be Ikar. Whereas one could have said, this has nothing to do with anything of Pidyon Bechor, just that we're using Pidyon Bechor for this Harah Shah, for this one single moment in history. But really, the dinim of Parshas Bamidbar are not crucial at all. I should mention that regarding Parshas Bo, by the way, that the smag and the smak, when they count the minyan in minyan mitzvos, when they count the mitzvah pidgin aben, count from the psukim in Bo. And the Bris Moshe, as the pairs on the smag, just asks the question. He says, aren't the smag and the smak right? I mean, the first psukim that we encounter in the Torah that say that there's a chiyuv to be poda your son is in Parshas Bo. So how come the other Mefarshim don't do that? I mean, the Rambam quotes a pasuk in Mishpatim, the Chinuch quotes a psukim in most of the Rishonim quote the psukim in Korach. Why don't they quote the psukim in Shemos? Again, according to the Rashbam and the Ramban, maybe there's good reason to and not to. I mean, you can see what the issue is. In other words, if Parshas Bo is not about Chiluf Kedusha at all, because it was prior to the Chiluf Kedusha, Parshas Bo is when the Bechorim were still being Oved. So the pidgin there is either incomplete or lacking. Moreover, there's no Chamesh Slime, there's no Kahuna, there's no Ben Chodesh. I don't just mean that the details are missing to be filled in later. One could have said that the whole Parsha of Bo is about Zecher Tzias Mitzrayim, or it's a special din in Hodav Ahatzala, or the recognition of Kedusha, but that isn't the pidgin aben that we have. The pidgin aben that we have is heavily influenced either by Parshas Bamidbar or by Parshas Korach. We'll get to Korach in just a second. So then you'd understand well why, even though the first reference in the Torah is in Parshas Bo, and Parshas Bo does play a crucial role because the Kilihem is still the foundation of the separate Kedusha of the Bechor, for sure. It added to it or it created it. But that isn't the basis of Pidgin Aben, as we know it. Pidgin Aben, that we know it, is based either on Bamidbar or on Korach. According to the Smag, apparently it's not so. Smag maybe would read, Smag and Smak would read like the Rashbam and the Ramban, and say, these parshas are all one and the same, foreshadowing. Already in Parshas Bo, we're being told that after the Chiluf takes place, there'll be a Pidjo. That also could be a reason not to quote them, but it didn't happen yet. But at least you can understand that it's all one and the same halacha. Or the idea of the Smag is even more radical. That is that the Smag will say that Parshas Bamidbar, that's a harasha, that's something that happened, you know, once when there was a switch made. That's not the essence of Pidgin Aben. It's not a Kliya Mikdash Halacha. Parshas Korach, which is about General Matnas Kun, is also misleading, as we'll discuss why in a minute. The role, it's a different kind of role at Kohen. It's not regular Matnas Kuhuna. The real pasuk, the quote, is Parshas Bo. Because it's really about acknowledging Makas Bechoros and the uniqueness of Bechoros through the act of Pidjo. Okay, so which pasuk you quote in the Midian Mitzvahs may be very important. Okay, let's move to the third parsha, and that's Parshas Korach. Saying Parshas Korach is about Matnas Kehuna. Perek Yud Ches, pasuk Tezvav. Kol cherem b'Yisrael l'chol yiyeh. I mean, again, you can see what's going on here. Bikurei Hashem ba'artzam asher avil Hashem l'chol yiyeh. Kol hol tokar b'Yischa yochlenu. Earlier, I mean, basically the parsha starts, Hineni nasati l'chem es mishmeres trumosai, that's trumos amaisros. Zeliyah m'chol mikodesh ha-kadoshim n'aish. Kol korbanam m'chol minchasam m'chol chatosam l'chol ha-shamam. Right, Matnas Kuna and Karbanos, Matnas Kuna and Trumas and Maestros, Mekodesh HaKoshim Tochlenu, Kol Chelev Yitzav, Kol Chelev Tirosh V'Dagon, Reishisam, L'chon Nisatim, Bikurei Kol Asher Ba'artzam, Yochlenu, Kol Cherem B'Yisrael L'Chaya. Then you have Kol Petarechem L'chol Basar, Asher Akivu L'Hashem, Ba'adamu B'Behema Yelach, Ach, Pado Tifdeh, Eis B'chor Ha'adam, Eis B'chor Ha'behema Tmeah, Tifdeh. Adam and Behema might be the same. Even in the pidgin, they're in the same pasuk, in the same half of the pasuk, not even broken up by an asmachta. Ach, padon tifteh, es bechor adam, es bechor behema atmea tifteh, kol petarechem bechol basar asher akrivu l'Hashem ba'adam ubehema yelach. Again, the more you connect it to pidgin petar chamar, or to kedushas behema, right, the less it's about chiluf kedusha, really. Right? Upeduyob. I mean, not impossible, because they're Bamidbar, they also change behemoths, but Uptiyov mi ben chodesh tifteh, Be'erkecha kesef chamesha shkalim b'shekel hakodesh etzrim geirahu. Okay. So basically, this is the parsha that is quoted by the majority of the Rishonim. And this is, even though the Rambam quotes the pasuk in Shemos, do we have that? No. In Mishpatim, what? Sorry? Yeah, the Rambam, you have to get it. The Rambam, yeah, okay. An ayin tes. So, no, not this Rambam. From here, what's that pasuk too?
No,
Sarah Mitzvah. Yeah. And Sarah Mitzvah's the Rambam, right? Mitzvah pay. Hishat Sivanu Liptos Bechor Adam Bishanitan Adam Imahem Lekohen Hu Avar Yisale Bechor Banecha Titein Li. Okay, Bechor Banecha Titein Li. Now that's an interesting parsha too. Just one second. That's Perek Chavdeis Pasuk Chav Ches. That is also an interesting context. Again, one of a slightly different emphasis. I think that's why the Rambam quoted it. Here, you have all sorts of very, you know, unrelated. Elohim lo tekalel, nasi ba'am chalo sa'ar. Then you have milei ascha v'dima chalo sa'acher. Bechor banecha titein li. That's the one that the Rambam couldn't find any other. The pasuk in Bo would be fine. The pasuk in Korach would be fine. After the Rambam picked the one in Mishpatim. So some of the Mefarshim, so they struggle to figure out what is the what's going on. Rashi in Mishpatim already asked the question. He said this, or he notes at least that Pidgin Aben appears in other contexts. Should I say Pasuk Chav Ches? Rashi says, "B'chor benecha titein li liftoso b'chamei shloim min hakoyin. V'halo kvar tziva lo b'makam acher. Kedei lismach lo kein taso l'sharcha l'tzonecha. Ma b'chor adam lachar l'amid yom. Right? Shenem p'dov ben chodesh tifte. Al b'chor behema. It's only doing here for behema to teach you that halacha. Obviously Rashi is bothered. What's the chiddush of Parshas Mishpatim? But if you look at Ibn Ezra and the Chizkuni, which I don't have here, they say Bechor Banecha is a din of Reishis Ono, which is very fascinating because Reishis Ono is the pasuk of Bechor Lenachla again. So we had the Chizkuni before also mixing in Bechor Lenachla. Remember also that the Gemara in Kedushin of Chavtes on the base, the Gemara says I might have thought that Reishis Ono should apply also to Pidgin Aben Kamash Mulan, that it doesn't. But this idea that Bechor Lenachla and Bechor Lepidgin, you know, that they aren't as different as they seem to look, which is what our Hakadama Shir was about, keeps, you know, resurfacing. But in any case, this Kuni, the Ibn Ezra and the Kuni say this idea that it's Reishis Ono. Earlier even, Rav Sajagon, Kulam Reishios Hain, and the Rajbam as well, Kulam Reishios Hain. I think that's what the Rambam was impressed with. It's Matnas Kahuna, but the Rambam did not want to quote the pasuk in Korach. Why? Because I think the Rambam holds that it's a different kind of a matnas kahuna. It's a matnas kahuna which is really mishulchan gavah kazachu even more than other things. If you look at the Rambam, now this part of what we're discussing here is, you know, which parsha provides which component and which emphasis in terms of the themes and so on. Now the Rambam obviously went in the end with Hilchos Bikurim. I mean, that's clear. He, as I say, after Rishis Hagez, before Peter Chamor, he separated it from Bechoros, etc. However, the Rambam is just a little bit complicated for the following reason. Number one, the role of Kohanim. Okay. If you take Parshas Shemos, if you take Yud Beis and Shemos, so the Kohanim, as I say, they're not mentioned in the Pasuk, and even if they were intended as the recipient from the very beginning, but it's just a place to mail the check. Basically, it's a din of Kilihei. And not only that, but it's a din in acknowledging just the either the need for Shevach Vahodah or the special status of Kiliyim of the Bechor. If you take Parshas Bamidbar, so then the fact that the Kohanim are the recipients is very, very prominent, because it's all about Chiluv Kedusha with the Kohen itself. The Kohen has to be compensated for taking on the role of the Bechor. And then the Kohen is going to be front and center. Parshas Korach is somewhere in the middle, because on the one end it's Matnas Kahuna, but there are different types of Matnas Kahuna. But there are Matnas Kahunas where the Kohen is, the recipient being the Kohen is more central, and sometimes they are Titein Li, but do it through my agent, since you can't mail the check to me, so give it to my proxy here on earth, namely the Kohen. So, in different Matnas Kahuna, we find different perspectives on that. If you look, for example, at the Rambam, which I gave you before, which is Bikurim, right? If you look at Bikurim, so the Rambam lumps everything together, you know, for purposes of classification in the beginning. Hilchos Bikurim Shar Matnas Kahuna Shabiglulin. That's the real name, as the Frankel has it here. And Yesh Becholon Tes Mitzvos, right? Lahafresh Bikurim, Chala, Zorah L'chaim V'keva, Reishas Hagez, Pidyon Bechor, Pidyon Petar Chamar, etc. So in the beginning, the Rambam has Arba, rather, B'Esrim, Matanos, Nitli L'Kohanim, Kulim B'Farshim Batara, Hakun Nechursa, Bris La'aron. In the beginning, he's being very inclusive, because that's, frankly, what the Rambam was trying to justify his classification. I mean, why did he put these things all together? What they have to do with each other? What they have to do is they're all Matnos Kahuna. Parshas Korach. However, just because a Kohen receives something doesn't mean that everything that he receives is of the same character. Right? Lo harei trumas umaestros kehare chala kehare bikurim kehare reishas hagez. You have to figure out each time. So it's fascinating if you look at the different formulations. So for example, just take how prominent and how central is the Kohen in these various things. So in the example, let's get out of Challah, last year's Limud. Mitzvah say, Litein kol zavech behema tahor lekohen. Azra l'chaim v'keva. Perek tes. Right? Then you have Mitzvah say Litein l'kohen Reishas Hagez. Shinema v'Reishas Hagez. Tzoncha titein lo. But then when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, in the initial formulations here in Hilchos Bikurim, the Rambam doesn't even mention Kohen at all. Mitzvah say Liftos kol ish miYisrael v'no shehu b'char li'imo ha'Yisraelis. Shenemar kol peta rechem li, v'nemar ach padot tiftes b'char adam. In Mishnah Torah, the Rambam does not quote the pasuk of Mishpatim. I think he wants to justify his inclusion in Hilchos Bikurim, but he doesn't mention the Kohen at all. Now, of course, when you read on, it's obvious that he's giving it to the Kohen, but the Rambam never says you give it to the Kohen. It's just fascinating. He doesn't need to, because you know, he. In Halacha Hey, Apodes Beno Mavarach Asher Gecham Tosef Tzivanu HaPidyon HaBen B'Chozum Varash Yechiyanu Achakach Nosein HaPidyon LeKohen. Which Kohen? Where did the Kohen come from? Wow, of course, he said, he included it in Hilchos Bikurim, and he said originally, these are the types, and Pidyon HaBen is this type. So obviously it's Matnas Kahuna. But that didn't stop him in formulating Reishas Hagez and Zorah L'Chaim B'Keva right in the beginning of their Halachos from saying that giving it to the Kohen is part of the mitzvah. It's, in other words, what I'm saying is the Rambam de-emphasizes Nesina L'Kohen in Pidyon HaBen. Also in Pidyon Petar Chamar. Right? What are you going to say?
Yeah, first he splits it up into two halachos.
Yeah. Mitzvah Saseh Liftos Kalonim Yisrael Petar Chamar B'Seh. U'shtei Mitzvah Saseh L'Nehagas B'Chamakam B'Chazman Mitzvah Spediyah Kodemes Seh Shepodim Bo Nosin L'Kohen Shenemar Kol Petar Rachem.
Moreover, I think that is Dafne Hesper Machlokes between the Rambam and the Raivin.
Yes.
On that halacha, Gabe Arefa, because the Raivin calls it What do you mean you can do Arefa? How can you say Arefa is more or less equal to Padiya?
Right.
After all, Mamonos Shoko, you know. The Rambam would say it's very simple. It's not really a
money. Really Mamonos Shoko. He gets the money, but it's not Mamonos Shoko. And if you look in Sefer Mitzvos, it's not as stark, but it's more subtle, but maybe for that reason, maybe it is stronger for that reason. Here in Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam says, okay, it's always helped to have to look at the right number. Okay. Zion. Here. He should tivanu liftos bechar adam, the shenitan adam imahem lakoin. Contrast that with the Sefer Chinuch. Do we have the Sefer Chinuch here? Alright, so it's Shin Sadi Beis? Oh, you have Yudches. Yudches is important too. Shin Sadi Beis just for a second. The Chinuch's formulation has the Kohen front and center. Liftos Bechar Adam, Klomar, Mitzvah al Kol Ishmi Yisrael, Sheyifte Min HaKohen, Benoshu Bechar Li'o HaYisraelis. He has the Kohen there even before he finishes the Beno HaYisraelis part. Again, it's hard to know what to make of these things sometimes, but at least they're worth noting. Shenemar, and he quotes Korach, right? Ach padot titeh es bechar ha'adam. So liftos bechar, mitzvah kol ish Yisrael sheyifta min ha'kohen, b'no shehu bechar. It's opposed to the Rambam, who has, I'd also read it one more time, he should tivanu liftos bechar adam, v'shenitan adam imahim l'kohen. The mitzvah is pidyon. The money gets mailed to the kohen. Hu amar yisale b'char banecha, according to Mishpatim, titein li. Why? And then with Petar Chamar also. He should sivanu liftos Petar Chamar b'seh levad, v'shalo yifdeh b'zulaso, v'yinosei noso aseh l'kohen. But not, he should sivanu liftos min ha-kohen. Now the exception to this, just to be, be honest about this, is the Rambam in Hilchos Bechoros. But maybe it's an exception, which... Do we have Ramanuchas B'choros here too?
Yeah,
not... I mean, these.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. B'choros is Karbanos. Yes, Mikdash, Karbanos, B'choros, here it is. The Rambam here, this relates to another point. Let's get to the second. Mitzvah Seba Hafrish Kolpeta Rechem Azcharim Bain ba'adam, bain ba'behema, tahora bain b'mina ha'kamar, bain shi'ushleim v'bain shi'utreifa, sh'nem ha'kad shli kol b'char, bet ha'kol rechem b'nei Yisrael, ba'adam b'behema, v'kulan l'kohanim. So again, the impression is v'kulan l'kohanim, but that's like an after statement. The mitzvah says l'hafresh. Then he says, b'char adam, b'char chamar, niftim upidyonam lakohanim. Again, they're niftim upidyonam lakohanim, not niftim lakohanim. The b'chor behema tahora nishchat bazar. Okay. Ah. Shenemar ach pado tivdeh es b'chor adam es b'chor behema atmeh tivdeh, etc. B'chor behema tahora shubal mimum. Okay. The Rambam had the line here. Okay, so here also the Rambam seems to confirm this idea that the Nesina Lekohen is an after effect. The Rambam what I want to say is as follows. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, in terms of Sefer Mitzvos, this raises a second question, and that is, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Bechoros, the Rambam says, Mitzvah say lahafrish kol peter rechem hazakharim, bein ba'adam bein behema tahora bein mimin ha'chamar. Shenemar kadish li kol bechor peter karecha b'nei Yisrael ba'adam u'behema v'kulan l'kohanim. So it sounds like the Rambam says that there's also a mitzvah lahakdish, which includes all Bechars. And that's what that's what the Chinuch seems to say, the other Chinuch, in Mitzvah Yud Ches. Move on to something else in just a minute. Lekadish HaBechoros, Klomar, you call Havlados Hanolodim Barishona, Klomar, Yotze Rishon Mirecham Anakeva, Bein Ba'adam, Bein Bebehema, Hascharim Kodesh Lashem. Shanem Rakadish Liko Bechor, Petakorecha, Bnei Yisrael, Ba'adam Bebehema, Lihu. Adafka Bebehema, Dain Rishon Vekesev Oez, Havalochaya, etc. Pirienu, Lamandas Kiakol Shalo, the Emel Adam Dover Baloma Rakma Shechalik La Hashem Yisbarach Bechasada. The Yavin Zebiroso Kiachar, She Yagea Adam Kama Yigios, Vitarach Kama Trachim Baolamo, Vigil is Mancha Saperi, the Chaviv Alav, Gracious Pirio, Kibavas Eno, Viad Nosa La Kodesh Baruchu, Umisrokin Rishusa Limenu, Machnisa Rishusa Baro. The Ode Liskar Nesa Gadol Shasalan was. Also, the shrashim of the chinuch actually are not chiluf kedusha, but the two others, either zeichel tzias mitzrayim, zeichel anes, or the idea of reishis. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, ayin tes he should sivanu lekadish bechoros, klamar lahafrisham ulahavdilam lemasharoi sheyi asa bahem. And so on. Okay, what I'm trying to say here is as follows. Does the Rambam believe that there are two mitzvahs or one mitzvah? Is there a mitzvah of Lakadesh? Well, he does count separately the mitzvah of Lakadesh. Does the mitzvah of Lakadesh only apply to Behema? Or does it apply also to Adam? The Sefer HaChinuch, I think, makes it clear that there are two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah Lakadesh, which applies to all Bechors, according to its proper destiny. And then there's a separate mitzvah, there's a count of general mitzvah Lahakdish, and then he counts the separate details as well. But under the broader mitzvah Lakadesh Bechor, because the Pasuk itself, that is the source of that mitzvah, the Kaddish called Bechor, right, it says, Babahema Ba'ad, Ba'adum Ba'behema, Lihu, or Lihem. So the Chinuch makes it perfectly clear that under the rubric of Kaddish Liko Bechor, it's included Adam as well. In the Rambam, it's less clear. In Hilchos Bechoros, it seems that way. It seems that that's also what he says. In Sefer HaMitzvos, he makes no mention, except for the pasuk that he quotes, that Adam is included in that mitzvah. But he does say, Shetzivanu l'kadish b'choros, klomer l'hafrisham u'lahavdilam l'masharoi sheyasabayam. If there is a separate mitzvah l'kadish, that could be from Parshas, that is from Parshas Bo. Whereas, basically, what means is that we're splitting up the mitzvah of Kedusha and Pidyon. There's a mitzvah of Kedusha, which is to acknowledge the uniqueness of the Bechor. And then there's a mitzvah of Pidyon. Now, it's possible that even Pidyon is part of the mitzvah of Kedusha, and maybe that's what the Rambam means to say for a mitzvahs. Namely, the way that you acknowledge and proclaim, right, the uniqueness of the Bechor, and Shevach Vahodah to the Rabbonu Sholom, for Makas Bechoros, or because of Reishis Pirio, like Meleacha V'Deimacha, the way that you do that is by undergoing an act of Pidyon. So I think if there are two mitzvos, there are two ways to explain it. One is that there's a mitzvah of Kedusha and there's a separate mitzvah of Pidyon. The mitzvah of Kedusha is about acknowledging the Kedusha, and the Pidyon is about Chiluf Kedusha. or Matnas Kahuna, or something separate. Or, basically what we're saying is there's a general mitzvah of acknowledging all Bechors. And then there's a more specific mitzvah of how that is done. It's part of Kaddishly. Namely, it's done through Pidyon, in which case the Pidyon isn't about Chil of Kedusha at all. It's like even in Parshas Bo. The Pidyon is a concrete way of demonstrating tangibly with money that we really do look at a Bechor as having Kedusha. Yeah, you wanted to ask something.
No, I thought that's what Rambam was saying in Pei, when he quotes the Proverbs of Bechor Badach HaTiten, and he says that Nesina is done, you give it to the Kohen, and through that it's if he was Zocha before.
Yeah, that's the language. Thank you. I thought you said that in Bechoros. So this is exactly. So in Mitzvah Pei, what's in Mitzvah Pei? Ubeir lanu hanasin azos echtiye, behusha nivdeyu mina kohen. Oh, so again, this second idea that basically, I understand it. At least again for the chinuch, I think it's possible that there are two mitzvos. One is kedusha. And the other is Pidyon. Not sure. Although, again, in the mitzvah of Pidyon, he refers you back to the Shorash HaMitzvah of the mitzvah of Kedusha. In the Rambam, in Sefer Mitzvos, it doesn't sound like there are two mitzvahs so much. But the Kedusha is itself expressed in Bechor by means of Pidyon. I think it's exactly what he says. He should see one who lifts those Bechor Adam, v'shenitan Adam imahim lekoin, hu amar yisala Bechor b'nacha titen li, ubeir lanu hanasina hazos, eich tiyeh behushen ifdeyu mina koin. What is the Nesina? Bechor banecha titen li. How is that expressed? Through the symbol of Pidyon. Uki'ilu, this is the line I was looking for. Thank you. Uki'ilu kvar zocha bo. Not that he is. Ki'ilu kvar zocha bo. V'nikneu mimenu b'chamesh slaim. That's what I meant when I said there's one place where the Rambam seems to say chiluf. But the point is, given the context of Kedusha, it's not Chiluf. The Rambam says we apply the fiction that the Kohen owns the child and that he needs a Pidyon. But the reason we do that is as an expression of Kaddishli Kol Bechor. So it takes the form of a simulated Zechiyah Pidyon Kinyan, but in itself is really a Nesina LaKohen, or LaShem, part of the Kedusha. So I think that's also why the Rambam, Dafka chose, in Sefer Mitzvos at least, the Parsha in Mishpatim, the Titein Li. Because according to the Rambam, it isn't really a Din of Matnas Kahuna at all. Even though on the one hand he's saying that we have the fiction, or the simulation that he belongs to the Kohen, but even then, I mean, that's not true of the other Matnas Kahuna really. You might say it's more than that, even. It's even more than a modest kohen. It's not. It's a din of Pidyon. It's a din. What the Pasuk of Mishpatim says is all the rachises are li. They belong to their Ribono Shel Olam. Again, in Rambam and Mordevuchim, which is, you know, always tricky, but the Rambam and Mordevuchim is very much like the Chinuch, except characteristically. The Chinuch says rachis because that shows everything belongs to the Ribono Shel Olam. Right, and you know, even we work so hard, it's our first fruits, we want to claim it, you know, we can't even do that. Even that belongs to him. So the Rambam Mordechai says, but with his own twist, Kedarko, you know, you want to you know, dampen the spirit of materialism and ownership. So it isn't so much about, you know, even that belongs to the Ribono Shel Olam, but you want to, dafka, you know, show a sense of discipline. Even this you give away, even though it's your first one. So it's more about him than it is about, I guess, you know, they come together at some point. But the Rambam Mordechai has that theme as well. Meaning, for the Rambam, none of this is about Kiel of Kedusha. And even that line in Sefer Mitzvos, the Ki'ilu, Zacha, it's not about real Matnas Kahuna, and it's not about Kiel of Kedusha. It's not a din in Kliya Mikdash. It's a din in Nuchus Bikurim, but it is Mishulchan Gavoa Kazako. It's really the Pasuk of Mishpatim. All the righteouses, Titein Li. Okay. Yeah.
So I think one of the things that's especially Rambam, right, he really does a tremendous amount of de-emphasis on the scene of Kohen. I think one of the things that's pressuring him, when it comes to it in pay, is the fact that you're chayav nachrayos by Peder Haben. In other words, if the scene of the Kohen shouldn't be important at all, so how Prasha should really suffice as a recognition of the Kedusha of the Bechor.
Right.
The fact that it's ma'akiv, unlike Peter Hamor,
right,
we don't pass on the Rabbi Elazar, the fact that it's ma'akiv by Peder Haben Mechulei Alma.
So the Tkiluzacha is important.
Right, it's putting pressure on the Rambam to give some kind of a role to the Kohen.
Right. And as we go forward, we'll have to discuss that. Namely, depending on what we will sum up just now in a second, but these various different perspectives and themes. So what really, do you always need a Kohen? What about a Kohenes? What about a Ben Beno shall Kohen, Mitzad Ha'em? Can that ever work? Things of that sort, right? I mean, we don't want to take away the role of the Kohen and Pidgin of Ben. But by the way, I should just mention that we have a recent Pidgin of Ben practitioner, yesterday it seems, right? Okay. So we'll have to hear, the practical report in just a minute. I want to speak about the tekes. But, so we don't want to take it away from the Kohanim, Chas v'Shalom. But the question is, what role do the Kohanim really have here? Is it a din of Matnas Kahuna in the normal? Does it conform to the, which kind of Matnas Kahuna does it conform to, is really one of the things that we're saying. And the question that you're raising now, which is very, very important, we'll discuss that next week, which is the actual process of giving to the Kohen. Does it express more hafrasha or nesina or kabbalah? Questions like achrayas, which is required in pidgin aben but not in peter chamar lahalacha, are a crucial way of gauging that. So all things being equal, one think, yeah, the more it belongs to the kohen, you need a kabbalah, and therefore there's din of achrayas. I mean, if you're mafresh pidgin aben money and it gets lost, so it's your problem, not the Kohen's problem. But if all you needed to do is go over some ceremony and be poda, and he's just the address, so maybe it could be more mako. So I think you're absolutely right. And I think this is the part of it to the Gaonim issue also, my boys today, which also implies a very strong Kohen orientation. It could just be because they hold that way, like the Chinuch did in one respect. But it could be, you're absolutely right, that there are some indications in the Gemaras that you need a Kabbalah, not just at least a Nesina, maybe even a Kabbalah, not just a Hafrasha. How does that square with the fact that Bo says nothing about Kohanim at all, Mishpatim says nothing about Kohanim, only Bamidbar and Korach have Kohanim, and even then, on different levels. Okay, so to sum up what we've done so far, there's much more to talk about, but basically we have three or four parshios, Pidgin Aben. Each one conveys a very different impression in terms of the basic theme of Pidgin Aben. We have Boaz, we discussed, Zechat Zitz Mitzrayim, Zechat Lanes, Hatzala, Kilihu, all of that. And that's why, again, it's, I don't think, a coincidence, Kohen is not mentioned in that Parsha, Shloshim Yom is not mentioned in that Parsha, Heisloim are not mentioned in that Parsha. Whether that Parsha has anything to do with the Avoda B'Bechoros, or did that precede it, or if it didn't precede it, or it did precede it, had nothing to do with it, but it's just a question of the main focus in Bo, which is why Rabbi Flato asked the question, is actually Kedusha. There's one pasuk that also mentions Pidgin, but the main focus is the uniqueness, the singular nature of the Bechor, and that is Kadishli kol Bechor. And again, according to some Rishonim, Kaddishli Kol Bechor includes Bechor Adam as well. The Chinuch certainly says that. It sounds that way in the Rambam Minuchas Bechoros. It's not so clear in Sefer HaMitzvos, although the Pasuk said that they're quoting sounds that way, and maybe in light of what we just said, the Rambam holds that way as well, but not whether it's a separate din of Kedusha or the Kedusha is expressed through the Pidgin, which is the way I think the Rambam holds, certainly. Is an open question. But that's Parshas Bo. Some of Farshim invoke Parshas Bo as the Makar, the Smag and the Smak. Why wouldn't you? We understand very well. Either way, even Parshas Bo is understood as merely the prologue to Bamidbar by the Rashbam and by the Ramban. The Svarno has it somewhere in between. It's Bamidbar-like, but it's Bamidbar-like already in Parshas Bo in the sense of having Heter, Ludvar, Chol, etc. That's Bo. Then you have Bamidbar, which is Chiluv Kedusha, a Kli Mikdash type halacha. It's a kind of a Hekdesh. We discussed the Bahag and other indications of Hekdesh or Kedusha or Erkin. It's really, the Kohen would be very prominent in that context. You could keep asking the Kohen Bizman Hazeh, we don't need to do this. You know, like some of the Mefarshim ask. That whole perspective of Bamidbar is a very different perspective. And then we have Parshas Korach and Mishpatim, Matnas Kahuna, the Rambam's Bikurim, but even then, a Mishulchan Gavoah kind, what role does the Kohen in, do the Kohen in play, etc. Okay, now let's move on from there, even though there's probably more to speak about, but to the Tekes for a moment. So this whole Tekes, how did it work yesterday? Let's have a report on the pigeon event.
Let me point out that I was in charge, so. I want to start out with my husband first bring out the child.
Okay.
And,
father brought out the child.
Yeah. I think there are different arguments whether they actually give him to the Kohen and he holds the child or they put it on the table in front of him.
Exactly. There are different formulations of what the tekes is, and that's why I'm asking you, because
right.
That's pretty important. Like the Kohen has the child or the Kohen never has the child?
Right. So I never had the child. They were smart about
that. That was wise, right.
Right. And I think when I was reading through the video of Michael Hossus, is that the more that they give to the child, to the Kohen, they're playing it down very much, saying it's just to emphasize, not that he actually owns the child or anything like that, it's just to emphasize that it's not some sort of nesina here, it's an actual pidyon.
Right.
And so that the father should have the right intent, but beyond that, there's not much.
Yeah, so if you look at, so this is exactly the question. How prominent is the role of the Kohen here? You know, is he really the one who is running everything? Now, they have this Nusach HaGonim, which we, you know, these brachos. Again, you have, do we have the Kinuch here? He has one of them, or the Ramban, the Nochus Bechoros. Right, they have this, I mean, some of it is pretty wild. But I should say, before we begin, the Gemara doesn't have any of this. All the Gemara has is the Gemara in the end of Psachim, which is, you know, the father makes a bracha, al pidyon haben. And Shechayanu, we'll have to discuss that too. Again, we're running out of time. I don't know how much we'll be able to discuss, but Al Pidyon HaBen and Shechayanu. Then there's a big discussion in the Rishonim, if why Al Pidyon HaBen and not Liftosis HaBen? Does it matter if he does it himself or Ayidei Shliach? Can it be done Ayidei Shliach? These are all issues which we have to discuss. Frankly, is Nusach HaBracha different if the child does it for himself or the father does it? Another important issue. But all we have in the Bavli and all we have in the Gemara is the bracha of Al Pidyon HaBen and Shechayanu. The Shechayanu is also an interesting question. Is it done no matter who does it? If it's done even in the case of a Nefel, but a child is no longer alive, but you did a Pidyon HaBen, would you still say Shechayanu? That's a Shaila. The Rishonim talk about that in Ksuvis, among other places. They also discuss about the question of Simcha B'mono. Do you say Simcha B'mono at a Pidyon HaBen? That's part of the shaving question also. Right? How much simcha is there in Pidyon HaBen is connected to the question of Shechayanu and Shasimcha B'mono. There's no Tzara D'Yanuka, obviously, like you have in Bris Milah, but there's also no level of simcha comparable to Bris Milah. It's more painful and happier, Bris Milah. Kasas Anochi Alim Rasecha Kimotzei Shalol Ra. So that's part of the question. What about Shechayanu? What about Shasimcha B'mono? What is Shasimcha B'mono about? What about shaving in the, you know, and so on. What? Yeah, Tachanun, exactly. These are all these are the issues that come up. Oh. But so that's what we have in the Bavli. So the Rosh says here in the Piskei in Bechoros in the Psakim that you know, this whole tekus that the Gonim had, you shouldn't do it at all because you don't make brachos when the bracha doesn't exist in the you don't make brachos when, you know, when the Tosefta and the Gemara don't have a bracha, you don't just make up brachas. Okay. But there is this tremendous Did you do that?
No, it came at the end.
Acha kach mevarich, yeah. Mevarich bracha zu. Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam asher kidash Ubar b'mei imo, which is, I think we already discussed, the Rishonim don't like, because they say, well, is that true? It's petarechem li'imo, once it's nolad, not b'mei imo. Right? But I pointed out, that's not so simple. Some people say the difference of, yotzer rosho, yotzer rov rosho, maybe because the status of b'chor, lepidyon, already exists, v'mei imo, and therefore, you know, you could talk about a leida, even one from an ubar point of view, as opposed to the leida of a b'chor l'nachal. Okay, but that's asher kidash ubar b'mei imo. Notice the language of kedusha is very important here also. It's a very beautiful bracha. And so on.
Sounds like the
So ima then comes imo amerez zebni b'chori, right?
No,
we don't. But this is the Gonim said it.
Apparently, some people say without shalom.
Yeah, imo amerez probably svardim. I'm guessing. Imo amerez zebni b'chori. This is the Gonim said with shalom malchus. Imo amerez zebni b'chori shabo pasach hakadosh baruch hu dalse bitni. It's fascinating. Aviv omer zebni b'chori. Ahu va'ani muzal liftoso shenemer b'chol adam b'banecha tifteh. Right, they quote Shmos actually. Right, your base. Yihirat zomu panecha Hashem Elokai k'shem shezachisa aviv liftoso kain tzakeu l'tor l'chupa l'masim tovim baruch ata Hashem mekadesh b'chore Yisrael l'pidyonam. Then avi aveim baruch shtayim al pidyon shecher, which are the brachas that we have. Then the nosim l'koin a pidyon ayadua v'heim, but whatever. Achar pidyon b'varach hakohen gimel brachos acher elu shekasavnu. Okay. Od kasav Ramban b'shosh shenosin av kesav pidyon lekohen nosin b'do b'yad hakohen v'omer lekohen eizah chavav alecha yoser bincha o hei slaim halal. That we do. My boys today, right? Va'av meishiv b'ni chavav alai miad notel lekohen adinarim malichem b'yado arosh haben omer zeh tachas zeh zeh chilav zeh, right? So ze machal al ze yotzeze le gatesze le kohen be kone ze haben chaim tov le torah le yirah shamayim. Also fascinating because he's leaving kohen and he's getting torah and yirah shamayim. Compensation or there's something more than that? It's the opposite. He wrote something kashem shenichas the pidyon kain yichanes. It's good to get pidyon not be a kohen. Wow. Kain yichanes le torah chupa masin tovim ve no maramein. And then he makes these brachos Hashem yishomrecha. Very beautiful. That's the best part. And so on. Okay. So this is a little bit complicated. What's going on here? So number one, I just want to point out that, the Babli doesn't have any of this. The Rambam doesn't quote any of it. Ram just says, I'll pidyon aben and shechiyon. I suspect that this whole show is run by the Kohanim. The prominence of the Kohen in this whole thing is clear. Right? He's the one who makes these brachos. He completely runs the show. He takes the initiative. It's good for the Kohen. I think that the Ram didn't like any of this. The Ram, of course, knew it. I mean, the Ram knew what the Gaonim were doing. He didn't like it for one of two reasons. Either like the Rush, because it's a bracha and a tekes, which is not written in the Mishnah, and it's on the Tosefta, and it's on the Gemara, and it's on the Yerushalmi. So, you know, for other reasons, he didn't like it at all, maybe. Or, if the address is Kahuna, but the real Chiyu, it isn't really even Matnas Kahuna. And even if it is Matnas Kahuna, we don't find Matnas Kahuna with such elaboration. Don't even have brachos in Matnas Kahuna, which is an issue that the Rishonim discussed a lot. Tshuvas HaRajba says that regular Matnas Kahuna, the focus is on the money. On the Nesina. And basically, it's the Kohen's money already. He's just, receiving what already is his, so you don't make a bracha. But Pidyon HaBen, the Pidyon is Koveya. That's a famous Raj. That's a Tshuva, the Tshuva Saraj. I think Chelek Aleph Yud Ches, or something like that. The point is that you have to again, I don't want to spend so much time, but you have to look at all aspects of this tekes from several points of view. It works very well, the tekes, from a Bamidbar standpoint, Chiluf Kiddushin. Especially the, you know, Zeh Tacha Zeh, it's like, Kaparos, you know. Except that, you know, Zeh Yikanes, you know, what's going on here? But the point is, you know, you should be happy. You're not a Kohen. I'm going to be happy that I am a Kohen. It's all good for Klal Yisrael. And this way, the way I understand it is, you're not thrilled in having a Suda. This is all done in the context of the Suda, by the way, right? Yeah. So the point is, okay, it's just a big celebration. You're a Shamayim, and poor guy, he could have been a Kohen, right? Point is, you know, it's good for Klal Yisrael that we're the Kohanim. And you know that it's all in one shevet, and it's also good for Klal Yisrael that people who could have been Kohanim are members of every family. That's the way I understand it. It could be a little Drush, or I mean, the diffusion is something which actually promotes Kedusha and Yerushalayim, because there's a would-be Kohen living in our midst. Okay, not every family, but the family who has a Bechor anyway. But my point is, from a Chiluf point of view, this whole tekes and the prominence of the Kohen and his initiative and my boys today, all of this is terrific. But if you see this as, you know, titein li, you know, and the Kohen is the place, so what's the Kohen you're taking over here? If you see it from Rambam, the way I understood it from the Rambam, all right, so the Kohen gets it. Okay, but it's all about the father. So then, you aside from Hilchos Brachos issues and Bracha Levatala and those kind of things, let's say you say B'li Shem Malchus, you still wouldn't want to do any of this, right? Yeah.
I should also say I heard a tape here from the Rav, and he was actually speaking at a Pidyon Ben.
Okay.
So the Chaim would never let anybody do the tekes.
We did not.
He was very against
it. Oh really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you say why?
I don't know.
Because it's not in the Gemara and it's Brachos, whatever?
I don't think so. I mean, the Rambam's giving his own explanation of what he thinks was going on, but it wasn't.
Uh-huh. Now, the interesting thing is, from a Rambam point of view, is the My Bois Tfei, in the sense, is not completely alien for the Rambam because of the line in Sefer HaMitzvos.
Right.
That's in Mishnah Torah, I would say, you know, what does that have to do with anything? That one line in Sefer HaMitzvos, which I mistakenly before was looking for in Hilchos Bechoros, but you're right, it's in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Pei, which is Ki'ilu Zacha. So that there can be a pidyon. So then you can say, my boy is part of it, it's part of the fiction. Now there's a tshuva of the Rivash, where the Rivash seems to say that, you know, this is somewhat taken seriously. You know, that he's, the child's going to be like, you know, the Kohen's like apprentice, unless the father does something here. And the Radvaz picks up on that and says, it sounds, you know, he says, probably Rivash doesn't mean that, but what he means is, in theory, if there could be such a thing, then it wouldn't be meaningful. The Rama in Simon Shunhei quotes part of this tekes and says, but of course, don't take it seriously. The My Boy is Tvei, you know, if the father says, I want to keep the money, the Kohen has no rights on the child. But the Radvaz, based on the Rivash, says, Lu Yitzuru, we could figure out what, then he would. I'm just saying, for the Rambam, of course, it's not so. It's Ki'ilu Zacha. But he's not Zacha Bechlau. But for the people who think that Bamidbar and Tosefes Kedusha of Chomesh and Erchin and according to them, this is a very, very important ceremony to underscore the themes of Bamidbar. But from the point of view of Parshas Bo and even Korach and Mishpatim, it's either completely inappropriate or overblown or exaggerated. I should say, Derech Agav, since we're already on this topic, so the different nuskos, there are different nuskos as well. Number one, the prominent the mother's role here is interesting. In the Chinuch's version of it, right? So she says, number one, she makes a statement. Oh, this is my child. Who made me a mother, you know, etc. So this is an interesting question in general, the role of the mother in Pidyon HaBen. We know it's a chiv of the father, right? The Gemara in Kiddushin explains why that is. Lemaisa, she is not mechuyev to be poda. She can't be poda, but she's mitzuruf in the pigeon of her husband and is shayach the pigeon of ben, or she's mufka legamri. Maybe it depends on those limudim and kedushin. Number one. The irony, of course, as I've mentioned this before, is that on the one hand it's the father's chiyuv, on the other hand it's peter rachem le'em, it's her bechor, and as we explained, not only is it her bechor, but even it's a rule breaker because the Yisrael who marries a Levia and a Kohenes, right, there's still a Ptur pigeon of Ben because of the mother, because it's her Peter Rechem. So her role is not completely excluded. It is excluded on a Chiyuv level and on a Kiyuv level, but the question is she Mitzurav to the father, you know, or not? And there are some Nuskos, he quotes it here as well in the footnotes, that had them saying together, Zeh b'chorib b'neinu b'chorenu she'chayavim anu lifdoso, and other Rishonim said, well, that's not true, she's not mechuyav at all. So if we say she's mufka legamri, she's no chiyuv, it's just petar rechem, it's a definitional thing, then of course that's right. If the point is lemaisa, she has no chiyuv, because like the Gemara says in Kedushin, if she doesn't have the chiyuv to be poda es atzma, then no one has a chiyuv to be poda her, and if no one has a chiyuv to be poda her, then she doesn't have a chiyuv. Then that kind of person doesn't have a chiyuv to be poda someone else. So I'll explain the logic in a couple of minutes if we get to it. So the point is, again, if you see that as fundamental, it's she's peter rechem, but that's it. If you see it as more, okay, so therefore technically she has no chiyuv and she can't do it, but I mean it's her peter rechem, it's her bechor, right? And it's her ptur in the case of Levia and Kohenes. So then we might say, well, let them say it together because she's Mitzurif in his Giyum of Pidgin Aben. That would be very important. So A, does she say it at all? B, what is the order? Who says first, hers or his? That's a machlokas. B, do they say it together? Or C, do they say it together? Also, the order of the Kohanim, what the Kohen does and what the father does. There's discussion of the order. So even if there is the Kohen, again, he might be the... Is the key the pidyon and the nesina, or is it the Kabbalah? Okay. All of these questions, in other words, may very well depend on the propriety of this tekes, in other words, on the details of it, may very much depend on the different perspectives that we have been that we've been looking at. Okay.
In terms of the amount of silver.
Yeah. The kesa and the heislaim?
For example, the older silver dollars.
Yeah.
We're only 90%, if that, silver. And many people have a minute of adding another silver coin if they can find one. Because now you can get these mint
the Israeli coin. The Israeli government printed
now. No, the United States government has mint proof coins.
And I wasn't talking about that. So the Israeli government, I think, created Pidgin Aben coins.
These are full ounce.
That's a different question. I mean, how you define what's the Esrim Geira and all of that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the Bahag is important for this whole issue because according to the Bahag, you have to add more. Well, the Gemara already says that we add to the technical definition of that's basically it's whatever the Esrim Geira, you know, is, and you have to it's a physical measure which is then of silver, which is then weighed. And you can give Shavu Kesef too in theory. No one does, but so it would fluctuate. What that amount exactly is, I mean, what the weight is, that's a big discussion already. In the Rishonim have a debate about it, and then the Achronim have a debate about what it is. So what exactly the amount? I don't know if I'll have a chance. I doubt if I'll have a chance to do that. That's more of a technical issue. I'm going to probably leave that. But that's a huge discussion in Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim as well.
The mother is. Has some
chiyuv
in this, so even if the husband is a
kohen,
she should have to be involved in some sort of
pidyon. No, well, if the child is the child of a kohen or a kohenes or a levi or a levia, there's no pidyon aben. Since, but again, that
mother,
too.
The fact that
either one.
I know. But
either one.
Since it's Petzerachim, so she is not a bas kohen or a bas levi.
Oh, you're saying the opposite. I mean, the Gemara thought no, because the Gemara thought it was a chiddush to say that if the father is a Yisrael and the mother is a Kohenis or a Leviya, the Gemara thought that, because Gemara is two deos. Now we paskin that the child is not subject to pidyon haben. But the Gemara thought maybe it goes by the father, because everything goes by the father in Mishpacha. But the child is a Yisrael. So the Gemara says, no, but it's still Petarechem Lebas Kohen or Lebas Levi. You're trying to say the mother is so prominent it should only depend on her. But I just, while we're at it, let me just mention that halacha anyway, because this is a crucial point. This p'tur of Bas Levi and Bas Kohen, let me say that before that, the p'tur of Ben Levi and Ben Kohen already works better if we're talking about, on the one end, works better if we're talking about chiluv. The p'tur of Bas Kohen and Bas Levi is a little bit tricky. So, because on the one hand, the child is a Yisrael Gomor. So what if the mother's a Kohen and a Levi? The fact is that he would normally need to do the Avoda and need someone to switch with. If it's really a din in Chiluv. On the other hand, the Kal v'chomer, which is what the Gemara says in Bechor is Davdalid, which is why the child of Kohanim and Levim don't have a pidyon haben, is based on the parsha of Chiluv. I said before, one could have said that the parsha of Chiluv in Bamidbar is just kind of a horah shah, has nothing to do with the basic issue. Of course, the Torah does mention pidyon there. But you can't say that completely, because the Kal v'chomer, which is the reason why a Ben Kohen and a Ben Levi, or a Ben Kohenis and Ben Levia, don't have the obligation of pidyon haben, is based on the story in Bamidbar. So it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, you have a father who's a Kohen and a Levi, so there's no chiluf. That's understandable. But why shouldn't a Yisrael Ben Levia or Ben Kohenis? Well, why shouldn't he require that chiluf kedusha?
Rabbeinu Gershon has a very striking comment on Daf Dalet, which addresses that. He says that it's very on many levels striking, but he says to the effect of, since the mother is, so to speak, shy to a shevet, where she is zachar, her child would not have pidyon.
Right.
And because of Petzer Rachman Talar Rachmana, so that's the strength of that limud.
It shows that he's struggling. I don't know what that means. It doesn't make it any better.
It's so striking. He says we have to imagine that the mother is like
a zachar. Maybe what it really proves is something else, and that is something which we're going to discuss either next or Monday, and that is that the is the chiyuv really on the child or on the mother or on the father? In other words, is it a parental chiyuv or a child chiyuv? But that too may be dependent on this question of chiluf kedusha. In other words, the chiluf kedusha, if it's really on the chefts, on the person, you know, this is like a bechor until you are podim, like hekdesh or something. So then that should depend on the child. It should be the child's obligation. It might be lemaisa that the parents have to take care of it, but it's really the child's obligation that is implemented or executed by the parent. Or is it really a parental obligation, right? I have to redeem my child. The truth is, and again, it's not so simple, but, muskal rishon, a superficial impression would be, I think, that the more it's about chiluf kedusha, or even kili b'nei kiliheim, or liheim, well, liheim, I'm not sure, I'll take that back. But if it's about chiluf kedusha, then it's basically more achiv in the child. And then the parental part is just the implementation. But if it's a racious part, that's over a second, if it's a racious part, racious bikurei ad mascha, racious dagon, and so on, and it's melach of a dimacha, it's a racious, so it's really a chiyuv on the parent. It's my racious. It's not the racious that is mechuyev, it's the person for whom it's racious that has the chiyuv. So then it's really more of a parental kind of a chiyuv. So this idea that the that it depends on the parent being a Levi or a Kohen rather than the child, actually works better from the perspective that it's a chiyuv Although again, in this case, it's ironic because it's a chiva, the father, and yet the mother being a Leviya or a Kohenes is still going to matter. It's a strange halakha. That's really what I'm trying to say. It was a question.
If the parents die, yeah. You presume he's still going to be
there. Yeah, yeah. The child has the chiyuv if there are no parents. But we'll discuss that soon. That the question is that because there are two dinim, and if the father is, if there's no parent, no father, then it'll be the child. Or is that the child is continuing the father's chiyuv, or the child takes over the father's chiyuv. Or that it always was the child's chiyuv, and the father was kind of a glorified shliach to begin with. So that's what we'll discuss. We'll discuss that problem.
I think some say the grandfather would do the pidyon in that situation.
If
the father
situation?
Would die for the 30 days.
Yeah.
So the grandfather.
Hey, that's a question. What about the grandfather? Right. What about Bezdin? Bezdin is a huge machlokas. Before Shem is Gadol also. What about the child before Gadlos? Is there any chiyuv at all? That's the machlokas in the Shach and the Taz. If you get a chance to look at it for next time, if we don't see it today, the Taz in Simen Shinhei Sifyud, and that same one with the Shlichus issue. It's all connected to the Shlichus problem, which I told you to look at. The Taz there says that you could do a pidyon ben al yedei Shlichus, but if the father dies and the child is a katan, then neither Bezdin nor the grandfather nor anybody else can do it. And the Shach in the Nekudas HaKesef argues, very long Nekudas HaKesef, where he says that's wrong, the Bezin could do it, the grandfather could do it. I think it depends on some of these issues. I'll get back to them later on.
If the father dies before the kid is born?
No, if the father dies before the kid is born. Yeah, so what's the question? The child will have to do a pidyon, but maybe only when he's a gadol. That's another question. If the child does a pidyon for himself when he's a katan, is that work or not? That's a minchas chinuch discusses. But I think these are all connections that are related to that's part of the father-son issue, which we'll get back to. I just want to do these preliminary issues first. But the question of kohanim then, the point about the tekes and the other things is, and the levia of kohanis is, what role do the kohanim really play here? It also may be a situation where, I think we also could ask the question, whether we're talking about individual kohanim, or we're talking about Mamana Shevet, Shevet Kuhuna. They say the precedent in Bamidbar is Moshe Rabbeinu to Aaron. Now that could be because, it was, like we said about Geirus, it was a mass pidyon, Chalos pidyon, the first one, maybe the only one of its kind. Or is that really a paradigm? And in general, the Nesina LeKohen isn't to an individual Kohen, it's LeKuhuna. For example, some people explain, some Achronim explain, that if Hafrasha is enough, right, but we do need Achrayas, but let's say Hafrasha is significant, then maybe Hafrasha is a din in the Maisa, Pidyon, etc., and it shows that the Kabbalah of the Kohen is nothing. Or maybe Hafrasha is a way of saying Kabbalas Shevet Kahuna without there being Kabbalas Kohen Yachid. By the same token, let me just mention this again. We have to be on the hunt for the role of the Kohanim here.
That's basically the Shudrash that you were calling for.
Yeah, exactly. And he says this idea that the pidyon is the key, and it's not. And that's why until there's a pidyon, there isn't mamon.
No, but I'm saying that in all other manas.
In all the manas kunas, says nothing happens because
that doesn't dictate that it's not a
kina.
There is.
Right. What he's saying is that in the other, because nothing has happened. There's a chiyuv mamon, and then you give it, but it's you're holding on to their mamon to begin with. Here you're really creating the chiyuv mamon through the pidyon, according to the Rashi. Rashi emphasizes the pidyon in that tshuva. But whether that's because pidyon alone and not the dine mamonis part is important. No. It's just a place to give it in the end. Or whether or not you give it, it's the sinas mamon l'shevet. Right, that I think is still an open.
Right.
But you have this also in another context, and that's in the Gemara that I want to discuss in a minute, and that is the Gemara Mem Zayin Omid Beis. What's that? Well, number one, Asar Kohanim Vasachas could be, but that could just be that they're sharing the Kabbalah, or the each one has a Kabbalah. That's part also of the question of Chamesh, Lochatzi Chamesh, which we'll have to get to. But another issue would be the following. You have the following case. Let's say the father is the case of the Gemara, that the father is a Kohen and the child is a Chala. So we say that if the father died after 30 days, then there'll be Hizokhali Atzmo, whatever that means, we'll discuss that soon, and there's no pidyon. But if the father died before 30 days, So again, he couldn't have done the pidyon, or wasn't mechuyev. That's also one of the things we have to examine. So then, what about the child? Does he have to be poda or not? So that's machlokas 2 days in the Gemara on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. And we paskin that he is chai. He is chai. So the question is, according to the daya, that he would not be mechuyev. What would happen exactly? So the Rush, a second, has this famous line, and Shulchan Aruch picks up on it as well. It says that the son would be, just 1 second. The Rush here says, let's say the case where the father, we'll take that case for a moment. Let's take the case where the father was alive after 30 days, and therefore there's no need for a pidyon. So the Rosh adds, v'hava ki'ilu hifrishav heisloi mupadabu as b'no, v'ikvam la'atzmo. Kein habein yafrish heisloi b'yiftes atzmo, v'lo yitnam l'koein, midid hava mishi yorish tvalim me'avi imo koein, shemetakna m'mochra truma l'koein. I'm sorry, the case of l'acha l'amidyom. So the Gemara says l'acha l'amidyom, there's no pidyon haben. The pashtus of the Gemara is, there's no pidyon haben at all. The Rosh says no, what it means is that the child is, who's a Yisrael, right? Otherwise it wouldn't be, he's a cholo, so he's the equivalent of Yisrael. So he's poda li'atzmo. And how can he do that? He's poda li'atzmo, he's ma'afrish, and then he's ma'akev la'atzmo. And how can he do that? So he compares it to the Gemara that says that, let's say you have, let's say you yoresh from your maternal grandfather, your mother's a Yisrael, is a Kohenes, married to Yisrael, and her father is a Kohen. And he has Teva. And we say, Matano Shalohurmu Kimishahurmu Dami. Even though the Hafrasha of Teva, Truma, wasn't yet made, we consider it like Truma anyway. So, he dies. He leaves this Tebel, which is Omeid Latruma, in his estate, and it's Kimishahurma, right? And it goes to the grandchild, to the mother predeceased. Her father, right? So now you have a Yisrael inheriting the tabel. So he can't eat it, but he can be mafrish and he can sell it. Meaning, from a mamon kahuna point of view, right? There's no problem. All he has to do is be mafrish, and once he's mafrish, he can sell it. He can't eat it himself, but he can sell it to a kohen. That's what the Gemara says. So the Rush compares that to this case of pidyon haben. The father is a Kohen, the child is a Yisrael. Right, that's a trivia question. How can that be? How can a father be a Kohen and child be Yisrael? The answer is the child is a Chalmo. So he has a din of Yisrael. Right? And now he is going to be mafrish, pidyon haben la'atzmo, and he can keep it. There's no dinei mamonos obligation to transfer it, because it's like he's yoresh from his, in this case, from his father. But it's no different than being yoresh tevel from his grandfather, the Kohen. So the Rital Gazi here is very bothered by this, as I'm sure other Achronim are too. They say, what's going on here? That doesn't make sense. In the case of the Truma, right, so it was Mamon HaShevet, it belonged to this particular Kohen. Because Matanus Kemo Shalom Hurmu Kemi Shuhurmu, so fine. But here, before the Hafrasha, there is no, according to the Rosh, it seems like there's no pidyon haben. Similar reading of the Gemara is you don't need a Hafrasha, not from the father and not from the son. But if you do, Miman of Shach, if you do need a Hafrasha, then it's Matnas Kahuna. What do you mean what did he inherit from his father? Rashi also uses the language. Rashi is a little strange in this Gemara. Rashi doesn't say that there's another Hafrasha, but Rashi says that the father is morish the pigeon aben to his son. What's going on? It's a very strange halacha. Again, we're kind of running out of time soon, so we'll have to stop and maybe we'll have to finish this up next time. But basically, is this an example? This is really what I'm asking. Is this an example where you can have a pigeon aben, you know, without a kohen at all? In some sense, that you have a pigeon aben, bizchus the father or the grandfather, who was a kohen, who neutralizes the dinei mamonis parts of it, and by neutralizing the dinei mamonis parts of it, that's enough. Or there are two dinim: there's a din of pidyon as a ma'isa, and there's a din of mamon ashevet or mamon kuhuna, the sino lekohen. The sino lekohen part is morish from the kohen, and they can do the pidyon separately. Sounds like that's what the Rosh is saying. Point is that we have to be on the lookout for the role of kohen, both in terms of bracha, in terms of, you know, new brachos. That's why do you need a bracha for this matnas kahuna? What about new brachos and the initiative that he takes in running the whole show of the pigeon aben? In terms of whether or not there really is a ma'ibayis tvei in some sense, or it's just a symbol for the Rambam, for the Ramah, as opposed to the Rivasha and the Radvaz, etc. These are some of the issues that we have to look at in terms of the role of kahuna in light of the different formulations and the different parshios. Okay, and again, the patur of Bas Levi and Kohenes, Ben Kohenes Olivia, I think is important to this issue as well. Okay. Having said that, let me just raise one other question. It's getting a little late. So let me just raise one other big issue, and then we'll continue on Monday. What time do we say Monday? Also like 10:15 is good?
Right.
Okay. Again, we'll try to do as much as we can between the Monday and the Wednesday. Again, either way, we're building a foundation with, you know, based on which hopefully it'll be easier to, on your own, finish up most of the halakhas. But I think there are, like, you know, several big issues that I want to explore. One is the question of the father and the son that we'll pick up with definitely on Monday. The question of Shloshim Yom, which is very, very important. And of course, the question of whether or not, the question of what we talked about before, Hafrasha, Nesina, and Kabbalah, whether the Dine Mominus part of the pidyon conforms with other transactions. Matanam Naslahaksir, and Shtar Adme, and things of that sort. You know, Shibudim. These are some things, the big issues that we want to deal with. We'll deal with every single one, but those are the big issues. The one big issue which I'm probably not going to deal with is the one that you just asked about before, which is how do you, you know, what's the actual definition of a slime? Because that's more of a technical question. There's an important daf about that in this Gemara. You know, Kesef Tzuri, Kesef Medina, the Tosefes Chomesh, how do you measure it? I will speak a little bit about it, just not the technical parts, but, you know, when do we require, when to shove a Kesef, and when do you actually require Kesef itself? Those kind of questions I will speak about. But I'll try to hit some of the big issues before we have to conclude. Oh, so let me just leave with the following, the Shlichus issue, because I think the Shlichus issue is a good proxy for some of the other issues. So the Ramah in Simin Shinei Sif Yud, I believe, has this view that there's no Shlichus for Pidyon Aben. And of course, that's very shocking. Shlichus Adam Kimoso, right? And you know, we know a few examples where there's no shlichus, but it's not obvious that pidyon aben should be one of them. And that's why the Shach immediately jumps all over this Ramah, Shulchan Kemoso, Lamatzinu. The Gra, which we'll discuss in just a second, says not only that, you don't even need shlichus. If somebody else wants to provide the money for the pidyon aben, you know, not only can a shliach, pointed shliach do it, not a kizachin do it, but anybody could do it as long as the kohen gets his money earmarked for this particular kohen. That's enough too. That's a big chiddush. We'll get back to the Gra in just a second. So what's the Ramah talking about? Moreover, Achronim asks the question, we have a principle called she yeshav shlichus yeshav b'tanai, the Gemara in Ksuvah Staf Ayin Dalet, called she yeshav shlichus yeshav b'tanai. If something is not nitan l'shlichus, You can't impose conditions on it either. But we know that you can impose conditions in the context of Pidyon HaBen, because the Gemara says in Kiddushin, on Vav, that Matano Menasa Hachzir can work in Pidyon HaBen. You can say, I'm giving you this gift, but it's on Menasa Hachzir. Not that it's a conditional Nesina, but it's on Menasa Hachzir. So, how can you do that if it's Eina B'Shlichus? It's called Sheina B'Shlichus, Eina B'Tanai. So how can it be that, how can the Ramah say that the Pidyon HaBen is not Nitan L'Shlichus? So all sorts of questions against this Rabbah. So it seems like, in some sense, the question of Shlichus becomes a proxy for figuring out the relationship between two elements in Pidyon HaBen, which both of which exist, probably, and the relationship between them, which is unclear. To what extent is this, again, a Yoredeya Halacha, a Maisa Pidyon, a formal process, and in addition to being a formal process, maybe also one which is very personal? Chiyuv Av L'Bno, it's about the relationship of father and son. He's got to do this personally. To what extent is that true? And we have different chiyuv haben alav. The Mishnah Kedushin Daf Chaf Tes says, whenever it's a chiyuv of the child on the parent, it's only the father. If it's the chiyuv of the children to the parent, it's the father and the mother. That's what the Mishnah says. And the Gemara has a brisa, and the Gemara says, what are the chiyuvim of a father to his child? And the Gemara has mila, pidyon haben, to teach him. Lisa Loisha, Lelame Torah, right? Those are the others. And then, of course, Lelamdo Parnasa, and to teach him how to swim. Teach him how to swim? Yeah. And that's also because it's a din of, I guess, self-preservation, essentially. It's not swimming per se, hopefully. Anyways. Okay. So on that list, that's a pretty diverse list. I mean, clearly, some of the issues are not, they're not require the personal touch. I mean, if you hire somebody to give the child swimming lessons, you know, then that's probably, in some cases, that would be a wise thing to do. Right. The same thing is true in terms of parnasa, certainly. Lame Torah, so there is a special additional component of, you know, to teach them through Shinanta Levanecha directly. Not only it's not a coincidence that even teaching Talmidim is rooted in teaching children. I think that works in both ways. It means that you should view your Talmidim as your children, which is obviously a very important idea. And it also means that you should view your children as Talmidim. I think both of these components are true. And there is an added kiyum, unquestionably, about one's added obligation to teach children in terms of schar limud. But again, it's still an open question to what extent is that, you know, the actual sitting down and doing it, although I think there's no question that that's an additional kiyum, but or is it, you know, making sure, safeguarding that it'll happen. Bris Mila, this is also an issue, whether is there a din of shlichos in Bris Mila. Tosfos Reed and others discuss this question, so we'll leave that open for the moment. The point is, just because we say that there's a mitzvah tzaben al-ab doesn't necessarily mean it's personal and that it's not nitan l'shlichus, but it could mean that. In some cases, again, Lisa Isha certainly is nitan l'shlichus. You have to gauge each mitzvah according to how you understand it. But obviously what the Ramah had in mind, this is a kind of a davar shebegufo, namely that it isn't just about chiluf and pidyon. Again, if it's chiluf hekdesh, and for sure it should work b'shlichus. Moreover, if the chiv is primarily in the son, but the father has to take care of it, he's already kind of a shliach, so let him appoint another shliach. The idea of the Ramah would point to there being, beyond chiluf and beyond nesinas mamon l'kohanim, matnas kahuna, there appears the maisa pidyon, and what's the statement being made by the father by personally doing that pidyon, in terms of recognizing kaddish l'kol b'char, and even then it's a chiddush, is what's accomplished according to the Ramah. Yeah.
Isn't it a bit ironic that the Tshuva's Rivash that Ramah quotes as not allowing Shlichus? I think in that Tshuva, the Rivash himself says that the father is a Shliach of the Ben.
Yeah, so I guess what it means is not a real shliach, though. I mean, if you interpret that way. Now, people who say the Rivash doesn't hold that, and the Rambam just made too much of it. I mean, that's what the the Taz and the Gras say clearly. But if you want to say it that way, I think what you'd say is like he's uniquely suited to be the shliach haben. It doesn't mean not the Taz Shulchan Shalom Kemoso, but meaning he's the one who's mitzurah to the ben in this matter. If it's a highly personal, I'm going to add one other point that I'm on. If it's a highly personal obligation of this sort, so would the same thing apply to the child? Let's say in the case where the ben is chayv liftos asatzmo because the father died, right? So would the child be allowed to point to shliach? Is this special din in the father and the son? No one else? I do this for you personally, hands on, right? But the chayv haben, the fact that the father can already do it, again, that would also depend on the question that you just asked me. Is it the father to the son? That's not shlichos, that's whatever. But anybody else, maybe pigeon itself, needs a personal time. But that's harder to understand. Either way, Rabbi Kiveger, just want to look at Alatar, says, as for the question of the Shar Melech, whoever it is, Matana Badas Lahachzir, we see that there are Tanaim, right? So maybe the answer to that question is that there are two din in the pigeon aben. There's a maisa pigeon, then there's the method of payment, right? The tashlumen of pigeon aben. As far as the maisa of pigeon aben is concerned, that's not nitan l'shlichos. As for the payment, matana menas l'hachzir, that's nitan l'shlichos. That's Rabbi Kiveger. So it sounds like Rabbi Kiveger is saying is that there are two dinim in pigeon aben. There's a yoredeya halacha, there's a maisa formal, which also is very personal, right? And then there's a choshen mishpat side. That is the position of Rabbi Kiveger. And the Gra says exactly the opposite. Gra says, language of the Gra is worth reading here. Always worth reading, but Shinhei. Gra says, I think the Rama is wrong. But instead of just saying it's wrong, there's a din of pigeon, but it's nitan ayde shlichos. What the Gra says is there's only one aspect of pigeon aben, and that is it's a chov that you owe the kohanim. Okay, let me read the Rabbi Kiveger for a minute, or read the Rama for a second. Ein av yachal liftos ayde shliach, v'gam ein bez and podim osa bloah. That's also, I should add, based on the tshuva of the Rivash. It's a diuk in the tshuva of the Rivash. Bezin cannot be poda the makom ha'av. It's not allowed here. So the Shach says zetamua, kaim of the chol Torah kula shulchoshon kemosa. So the Taz, like the Shach, argues again. This is the debate between the Shach and the Taz, which I want to discuss next time. I mentioned already, and that is that the Taz says, listen, the Ramah is wrong. But if the father dies, if the father's alive, he can appoint a shliach. But if the father dies, then it's true that bezdin or grandfather cannot take the place of the kata. That's the view of the Taz. And the Shach says, that's wrong. Even the grandfather or Bezdin can step in for the kata. And what that argument is, I'll leave for next time. But that's the Rambam, that's the Taz, that's the Shach. They emphatically disagree with the Rambam. So the Kiveger says, B'shar melech tama, midina, the matana, I'm an asla haksir, but no padui. So you got ruchu with parakam of the kedushin. But li ani asdari tayin li ani asaiti lakasha miji. Ta vada imad asfila the shita zu den yochal liftas. I dishu achanu shal shliach yasa maisa pejo. She yom ala koin. Bezeh amo si yeh bino padui. The whole tech is fine. Avo pshita di yochal haksis la koin amo si yeh shliach. So the Gra says, kol ze tamua. Dilo mi boi ayde shliach l'shukh l'shanim kemoso. Af acher yachalitos afila below das shalav. The lo odif mi meiser sheni shachir yachalitos kamosha kasavnu. The chen hektesh. The kol shekain kam sheeno ella chov bi alma. Shari hakohen goven the mishubadim. This is the Gros Raya. Kamosha kasav the bchoros lem chasim rala. Ella de la chatchila. What's that? Kia parech kogo shalacher in a dipter halovet. Ela lechatchila yosa mitzvah ba'av, kamo mila b'shar dvarim sh'av kai b'gam b'rivash leisa mizeh klum, ela b'divere shoel b'gam in muchav dvarav, ayin taz b'shah. So the Gra here goes out on a limb. Not only does he disagree with the Ramah, he disagrees with Rabbi Kivager too. Rabbi Kivager at least said there are two dinim. There's a din of pidyon, and there's a din of nesina. And the Gra is saying, there's only a din of nesina, and it's kechov bi'alma. It's like hekdesh, like being poda hekdesh and ma'aser shein. Anybody can do it. The important thing is the kohen gets his money. V'haraya, shibudin. After all, pidyon haben is a shibud. According to the Gra, shibud reflects pure chi of mamon. So what would the Ramah, according to the Gra, what would the Ramah say about that? And even Rabbi Kivager, not necessarily. Could very well be that this is a personal chiyuv, it's a formal action. It requires the actual hands-on participation of the father. And yet there's a shibud. As it takes the form of mamon, but the mechayiv, the real mitzvah, is the actual nesina itself. So this is a question. With this, I'd like to just expand to this whole issue. Number one, the Yordea versus Choshen Mishpat parts of Pidyon HaBen. On the one end, we say about Pidyon HaBen, we keep saying in the sugya is Motu Mechaver L'Varaya, all the Mishnayos. Right? If there's any kind of suffix, Motu Mechaver L'Varaya. You have a son and a daughter, you don't know which came out first, Motu Mechaver L'Varaya. You have two children, each of which is a bechor, and one dies, being a Tosh Shlosh Shimon is a Nefel, you don't know which one, both of them, Motzi Mechavera L'Varaya. Right? Motzi Mechavera L'Varaya is very prominent in the Din of a Pidyon HaBen. On the other hand, all that points to Dini Mamonis, but what about the Tzad Iser Shabo? What about being Mafresh and Poda? So they, actually Marit Al-Ghazi, says, based on the Rush that we spoke of before, remember I mentioned the Rush says in the case of Cholol Ben Kohen, that if the father dies after 30 days, the child is mafrish la'atzmo u'ma'akva. That's what the Rush says. So the Marit Al-Ghazi says, yeah, and anytime there's a suffix, Pidyon HaBen, that's what you do. The father should be mafrish money for Pidyon HaBen, and then he can keep it. So the Achronim asks against the Marit Al-Ghazi, how can you compare those two situations? The case of Cholol Ben Kohen, at least he was, you could say that he was Yorish, the Mamonis, like Rashi says, Morish, Me'aviv, and that's what the Rush says. It's like being Yorish, Tebel, Me'avi, Imo, Hakohen. But in a regular case, how could you say Motzei Mechavera? You say Motzei Mechavera, right? But this, what's the significance of the Afrasha? Moreover, we don't see it anywhere. And even though the Shulchan Aruch does bring down this rush, Shulchan Aruch doesn't say about other cases of Safek that you're Mafresh. But the Rit Al-Ghazi had in mind was not two dinim and Pidyon HaBen. Right? There's a Maisa Pidyon, and then there's the Choshen Mishpat side. There's Mamon HaKohen, or Mamon HaShevet, or Mamon specific Kohen. So if you can't do one, at least you do the other. But one could argue that if there's no mamon hakohen at all, then you haven't even done the pidyon. And Marit Al-Ghazi is assuming that there are two dinim, like Rabbi Kivager. But Rabbi Kivager doesn't say that. Rabbi Kivager says, even if there's an ikuv on the pidyon, shlichus, then the sinas hakesef could be done like any other transaction. He's not saying that there's significance to a pidyon which is disconnected, or which is going to be followed through as an asina. Unless you say about the Rit Al-Ghazi that every hafrasha is an asina l'mamon kahuna in some way. In general, that should be a problem with Achrayas, because in general we see... Right. Unless you say that the Chiyuv Achrayas is only in a case with the Zavad Echiyu, not in the case with the Zavad.
The Torah is also talking on to what extent, how seriously one takes the leave of Dalet, right, regarding Peter Chamor and Choradim, because it's Mufurish in all the Mishnahs in the first parak regarding that Mafresh does have an independent status by Peter Chamor. The question of Marin El Ghazi is, where have you ever seen this by before Adam?
Right.
We don't see Akrasha, but.
Well, the Zohar is in Peter Chamor.
Right, right. So if we have a
the
more
same question.
Reading of that,
comparison. Maybe. But again, that seems to be exactly the difference between Peter Chamor and Adam. So this is an important question. This is an important issue. Can you split these two things, one from the other? That's where that Marin al-Ghazi and the discussion of the Rush becomes very important on one side. Or I'll give you another example. The Gemara has a discussion, Rav and Shmuel, on Mem Chesem Aleph. The Gemara has a discussion. If you're Poda, a child within 30 days, Le'inyan La'achar Lamed. I give the money now, I want it to be chal after Lamed, and after Lamed, the money's been spent already. It's gone. Misachlo Amos. Does that work or not? We'll discuss that next as part of the Lamed Yom issue. So that's a debate between Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara discusses, like, who do we paskin? So the Gemara says, paskin like Shmuel, even though we normally would paskin like Rav. Bisuri. We paskin like Shmuel and Mominus, we paskin like Rav Bisuri. So the Marit Al Ghazi, again, that Gemara too, says, I don't understand what's going on here. Isn't Pidgin Aben Mominus? We paskin like Shmuel, we should paskin like Shmuel. It's Mominus, not a Yisurin. This is a question. In other words, to what extent is Pidgin Aben a Yoredei Adin or a Choshem Ishpat Din? And if it's both, can you split them by being Mafrish, by having different requirements, Yeshli, Achnosh? That's Rabbi Kivager's challenge. But basically what the Gro is saying, what the Rav Ma seems to be saying is, it's a mice in the scene that requires the personal touch all the way through. What Rabbi Kivager is saying is our two elements. Then you have to figure out, what the parameters of that are. What the Gro is saying is, it's pure Chol Shem Mishpat Mitchilo V'Yansov, Varaya the Shibudim. So what do the others say about Shibudim? They will probably say, well, if there are two components, it's not a problem. Even if it's mostly an Easter halakha, but it still takes the form of mamonis. That's a question in general. Is there shibudim lemitzvos? And if not, generally, we know there's shibudim for certain mitzvos. Pidgin aben, that's our gemara here on mem, the Mishnah and the gemara here on mem chesam and aleph. And again, the Gemara has a limud on Nun Aleph Amid Beis. And we'll discuss it more next time. We know also Yoledes. Yoledes, who brings a Korban Chatas, there's a Shibud on the property. Shibud means a lien and a mortgage you can take from the person's property to bring the Korban Ola. There's a huge debate regarding Tzedakah on this question. Is there Gviyim and Chasim Mishubadim, can you go into somebody's property and confiscate his property for his tzedakah obligations? Nidre tzedakah, regular tzedakah. There's even a discussion regarding other karbanos. Let's say karban olas ri'iyah, I told you to look at a little bit. That's a big debate. The Rambam seems to say that if the mace was mafresh mechayim and olas ri'iyah, then you can bring it lachermosa. So then also Kelam alask, it sounds like if he wasn't mafresh mechayim, that there would be no shibud. How come? Doesn't the Gemara itself on Nun Aleph Amid Beis compare Pidgin Aben to Olas Re'iyah? The Hagos Maimonios in the Chos Talmud Torah seem to say in all mitzvos, kofen all mitzvos, and the shibudim for the accomplishments of mitzvot. Like, milvak suva batorah. When do we say shibudim and when not? So on the extremes, you could say like the Gra, we only say it when it's a real chi of mamon. Like any other chi of mamon, just that the Torah created this chi of mamon milvaksu batora, as opposed to eschaibus midas. Or you could say the other extreme: all mitzvos, all things being equal, have a shibud. Or you might say that it depends. Mitzvos that are essentially chiyuve mitzvah, but they take a very specific monetary form, maybe they have shibudim. Pidgin aben has a specific amount. A slime, it has a makabel, kohen. Mitzvah like that is one thing. Right? Yoledes also, there's a chiv to bring the korban, ola, has a certain value, a certain amount. but maybe not to other karbanos or other mitzvahs. So partially, this becomes the grub made this an issue in the nature of pidyon aben. Okay, we're going to stop here. I want to pick up next time. I want to speak a little more about shibudim on Monday. I want to speak about the father and the son topics. I mean, whose relationship, whose chiyuv is it, the father or the son? And I want to speak about shloshim aben. At least I want to speak about those three on Monday. So we'll start around again 10:15 or 10:30.